about.
You gotta put it in the perspective.
Now, who wants to hear one of the most highly classified, I'm talking top secret radio transmissions ever recorded?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah!
Halloween poop inside my toilet. Halloween poop next to my pee. I wish that my butthole could see, because the side of this just terrifies me, and it's Halloween poop inside my toilet bowl. Woo!
I had to play that early because if I would have played it later, it would have stuck in my head. I wouldn't have been able to sleep. It's one of those songs that sticks in your head. It won't let you sleep.
And now,
this one is a bit meaty, and that one's actually getting a little pudgy.
Our feature presentation.
You get songs stuck in your head and they won't let you sleep? Is that how that works?
Yeah. Huh. You know, when you're laying, I think Rodney's talking about when you're laying in bed, you've got the hook of some, you know, song going through your mind, and that prevents you from going to sleep because you're just laying there like kind of tapping to listening to the music in your head.
Never happens
to you?
Oh, no, I get songs stuck in my head all day long, but not at night.
Oh,
when you're trying to doesn't keep you up.
Like around 8:15, it's like, nope, that song is gone.
That's right. I have a deadline for it.
Maybe your brain is already shut down.
Well, it could be.
That could be true all the time.
How dare you? Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. It is the 20th of Rocktober.
Hey, the girl.
Hi, the Bean.
How was the great state of Utah?
It was good. Went up to Park City for a friend's birthday.
No murder.
No.
Right?
No. However, I did send Chip a picture of my Airbnb.
Uh-huh.
I walked in, and if you're a Hannibal fan, you'll get it. I walked in, I'm like, I'm going to die. Just one of those, like, weird animal skulls with the antlers. I'm like, am I supposed to just bludgeon myself and lay up there? What's happening?
Wow, that's kind of freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can never look at right now. It's, never look at antlers again the same way after Hannibal.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I didn't die, and as far as I can tell, there were no cameras recording. Well, at my every move, but I mean, we'll soon
remains
see.
Remains to be seen, yeah.
Yeah, good times. Okay.
So, was it weird being away on work days?
It was.
Did you feel like you were missing stuff?
Not at all, no.
Really?
No. This show? No.
I just thought, you know, you go, oh man, Dave Gahan.
No, that definitely hurt on a level I wasn't quite sure it would, but it hurt, and I listened to it, mm-hmm. and wow, is he just a good guy.
Yeah, he is.
And there's a reason I've loved him since elementary school. He was delightful.
He came in at the end of the show yesterday, and we are going to replay that interview for you coming up at 6 o'clock this morning. So for folks who missed Dave Gahan, you'll enjoy it. He was a lot of fun. He really was. So anyway, well, welcome back. It's good to see you.
Hey, thanks.
And we got a huge show today, but I want to start with this story. I'm sure you saw this on the news, this latest disturbance at LAX with the Southwest flight. It was already very well delayed. Flight 2010, Southwest flight, was already 3 hours behind.
Wow.
Which, sadly, not uncommon these days.
Yeah, true.
For lots of reasons. And then a woman on the plane reclined her seat.
Uh-oh.
And the man behind her, I guess, had just run out of patience at that point. And he started choking her.
What?
At 10:43 p.m., we received a call about a passenger disturbance on the Southwest flight, said Rob Pedregon, public information officer for the Los Angeles Airport Police. The pilot diverted back to the gate. The plane never took off. It was on the taxiway. Because of a rapidly escalating situation involving passengers who were not traveling together, the captain declared an emergency, said Southwest Airlines in a statement.
What happened to, hey, excuse me, would you please, and then kick the seat?
No. Mm-hmm. Right to choke.
Just right to choke.
Wow.
The plane was back at LAX about 13 minutes after it left. By the way, I mean, this story says that he started choking her. I don't know if that other stuff happened before he started choking her. I don't know if that was the escalation that the Southwest statement referred to. Airport police met the aircraft at the gate. They removed the passenger. The FBI took over and launched an investigation. A passenger on the flight posted a photo of the scene on Instagram saying a man strangled a woman because she tilted her seat back. She shouted for help, and the crew came to see what happened. The man stayed very calm during the situation.
Here's all good. All good.
I'm just a sociopath, you guys. It's cool. Look
choke
away.
Better, but I'm cool.
My question to you. Since we've had air travel, seats have gone back, right?
Yeah.
Why is it, do you think, in the last 5 years, it has become this flashpoint for travelers when it seemed to be okay for people for the first 80 years?
I don't know, because they don't go back that far.
No.
It's a couple inches.
Is it just this entitlement thing? Like people feel, that's my space.
That's my airspace.
You're not allowed in there. Or is it just everything's gotten so bad with air travel that that's just the last straw once you sit down?
If you were designing an airplane today, would you consider not letting the seats go back? I think I might. I feel like that's the direction the passengers seem to want.
I don't know. It doesn't bother.
I know I don't put my seat back. I know that. It's just I just feel like there is so little space for the people behind me that I don't want to take it.
I normally don't, but it doesn't bother me when someone in front of me does. I mean, you have to rearrange your knees for one half of a second, and then you're fine.
Yeah.
The remaining 136 passengers switched planes due to an air traffic delay. They reached San Francisco at 1:43 a.m., about 5 hours after their scheduled arrival. So the plane was already very delayed, and then this incident with the seat happened, and then they all had to go back to the terminal, and then they all had to change planes, and then they had to take off again. So that was a long night. It was supposed to land at 8:38. It landed at 1:43 a.m.
I flew Southwest yesterday, and I had an aisle seat, and then a gentleman came and sat in the middle seat, and he promptly put the seat thing up.
The armrest?
And I realized...
It separates?
Yeah, that separates, and I realized why, because he was a bit larger.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say I'm a hero, but I didn't complain. I just kept going with my life. Everything was fine. I was like this the whole flight, just kind of crouched over the side.
So he had about a 25% of your space?
At least half of my seat.
All right.
Wow.
But you know what? Everything's fine.
Because you're a hero.
I don't want to say
I know,
it.
I know. I'll say it, though.
Thank you.
You're a
yes,
hero.
Thank you.
And you're an absolute hero.
Thank you.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is, but I'm sure the 3 hours delay did not help anyone.
Did not help at all. Yeah. I think it was short fuse time.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
Not what? Positive. Not positive about that. I don't know. Like Bean said, we're going to give you some highlights of the Dave Gahan interview coming up just after 6. We also have tipping. Should it go away? Waiters and waitresses, should there be no more tipping?
Huh.
There are a couple of restaurateurs who are thinking about doing that, adding some.
We're just all shocked.
And your face when you said it. Restaurateurs.
I just can't believe you used a word of French origin. It just seems unlikely coming out of your mouth.
You all suck it. What about that? So anyway, we got that coming up today. We have Joel McHale in studio who's talking about doing the soup at NASCAR. Great idea. Oh. Great idea. And Travis Barker will be in studio. Very excited about this. He has his autobiography called Can I Say? And he will be in here in the 8 o'clock hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Today is the day that our friend Ralph Garman is working from Universal Studios Hollywood. It is the K-Rock Vein Drain Blood Drive. Wow, look at this. Before 6 o'clock, Ralph, you've already got a crowd down there.
Yes, look at this on the radio. Look at all these people.
It's an expression. I'm just saying. I'm impressed that people are down there so early.
Not only is the waiting room filled to capacity, people waiting just to bleed, God bless you, but there's a line outside of the Globe Theater here at Universal, and it's got to be, I don't know, 5 miles long.
Five miles?
Wow.
All right. There's some people in line. Okay. But still, it's great. People are showing up before school, before work to come down to the drain the vein, vein drain blood drive. What are we calling it?
vein drain blood drive.
They're coming out to... Of course, it's an amazing cause to give blood to people who need it. And I want to thank everyone who came out and those who are still on their way. We'll be here all morning long. I'll be here all morning long. And we've got tons of prizes just for coming down. You don't even need to give blood, but it'd be cool if you did, including tickets to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, which is, of course, here at Universal Studios Hollywood. Tickets for The Cure, AWOL Nation, Danny Elfman's Halloween Show, Muse, Deftones, Rancid, the neighborhood, and more. So you can get more details at krock.com before you head down. But I would recommend it. If you're going to come down, you do it soon, because I'm not kidding. There was a long line waiting for
people.
That's
fantastic.
To get
okay,
yeah,
here's my amazing. Here's my one question, though, and I don't want to scare people you know, who are on their way down there, but, I mean, are there a lot of people taking blood? Is it going to be a relatively quick process for people who want to stop by before workers show?
It is relatively quick. They really move them in and out here. And if you come down, it won't take you long. You'll be on your way to school or work or wherever you're headed. But it certainly is a worthwhile cause. We encourage everyone to come down. But give yourself a little time, because you want to get your cookie afterwards, right?
Yeah, sure.
That's a euphemism,
juice?
Of course. There's another tent over here. I don't know what's going on there, but people are getting their cookie.
Well, that is great news. And again, as Ralph mentioned, you get all the details about the Vein Drain Blood Drive at krock.com. It's 5:55 Tuesday morning. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin Beach Show. What's going on?
Well, last night it happened. The final Star Wars trailer for Star Wars The Force Awakens was aired during Monday Night Football. Great to see Mike Tirico announcing it. No bigger Star Wars fan in the world than Monday Night Football analyst Mike Tirico throwing
that was
the Star
an underwhelming toss to the trailer, wasn't it?
He couldn't have given a rat's ass, I got the sense. But
well, I guess there's some sort of movie or some sort of BS we're supposed to do now. Can someone just roll the tape? I mean, it was pretty much that.
And Gruden's like, and he's got a lightsaber, and that thing over there, it's going to go boom. It was pretty impressive, I got to tell you. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but the Force Awakens trailer, I think, raised as many questions as it answered, but certainly what everyone everyone's appetite for what's about to come in this December. Here's some things that most people took away from the trailer. Looks like Daisy Ridley's character of Rey will be the Force Awakens' Luke Skywalker. Looks like she is the impoverished desert rat who takes up the fight for good. Kylo Ren, played by Adam Driver, of course. We've been clued in by J.J. Abrams that he was a Darth Vader fanboy, and it looks like he absolutely is going to pick up where Vader left off, so much as having the Ultimate Vader collectible. It looks like his skull there
his
in his house,
head, yeah,
which was pretty cool. Harrison Ford's role of Han Solo apparently is much larger than anyone imagined. Looks like he's a key character throughout the film. He's seen throughout the trailer. And is Luke Skywalker in the trailer at all, people were asking afterwards. He's not on the poster that they just released. He was just maybe glimpsed in the trailer when you see that mechanical hand sort of caressing R2-D2 in a very creepy way, by the way. Things get lonely there on Tatooine.
Sure.
But there's a lot of characters we haven't seen yet. We haven't seen Domhnall Gleeson's character or Andy Serkis. Lupita Nyong'o's character has not been represented. So there's plenty of surprises still in store when you see the film in a couple months. But yesterday they were saying, in the UK especially, websites crashing under the weight of the demand for advanced tickets, people trying to buy their tickets for the early shows when it opens. And, you know, you got to get them because it's only going to show for 2 days. Star Wars is only going to be in theaters for two days. So
you
really
sure?
need to get your tickets early.
I expected it would be in theaters for like a year.
I know, right? I know, right? Right?
Right?
What a surprise. In other show business news, Oprah Winfrey. You know, when most people want to lose some weight, they go to Weight Watchers. Oprah Winfrey bought Weight Watchers. She picked up 10% of the stock of Weight Watchers. She shelled out around $43 million for the stock and will join the company's board of directors. Because when you want to talk about weight loss, you look to an idol like Oprah Winfrey. Who can't lose a pound, yeah. No, over her life, she's probably lost about 4,000 pounds.
Right.
And then gained 5.
That's right. I was thinking about this yesterday when I saw what the Weight Watchers stock did after Oprah bought hers. It just went through the roof. If she had cashed out immediately, she would have made millions of dollars just for buying that stock and selling it again.
But, Bean, it's not about money. She's there to promote overall health and wellness
loss.
Okay.
All right.
And she said she's going to become a member of the Weight Watchers program as well. Hey, maybe try it out before you buy it, you know? Maybe see if you can lose some weight before you buy Weight Watchers, Oprah.
What if she was at your weigh-in, though? Can you imagine?
You get a pound, and you get a pound, and you get a pound, and you get a pound. Bean was right. The stock spiked 105% in value after she made the purchase. Just by announcing she bought the stock. So, pretty impressive. Can she buy stock in K-Rock? Can we do that?
Good question. Seriously. She's so powerful, though. I mean, she changes the stock market just by what she buys. I mean, it's crazy.
Of course she's powerful. She's like 375 pounds.
Well, right. True.
She's a linebacker.
I've gained weight.
Yes, you have. Let's take a look at the top celebrity birthdays for today, the 20th of Rocktober. Ah! Today was the is the birthday of Father Mulcahy from MASH. Actor William Christopher is 83 years old today. Musician Tom Petty turns 65. Kenneth Choi from Sons of Anarchy is 44 years old, as is Snoop Mother Lovin' Dog.
Wow.
John Krasinski is 36 today. And Viggo Mortensen, the actor with a tail, turns 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Travis Barker joins us in studio later on today. Also, Joel McHale as well here on a Tuesday morning Kevin Bean Show. But first, we want to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067 on any topic. We ask what's good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
So it's Kevin and Bean and Allie in the studio. Ralph is also with us, joining us from Universal Studios Hollywood, where he's down there for the K-Rock Vein Drain Blood Drive in progress right now. Why don't we start with the number one question on everyone's mind today and go to Chris in San Pedro. He's up first. He's on line two for What's Good.
All right. Hey, Chris.
Morning, guys. Morning, Allie.
Good morning, Chris.
What's good?
I was really expecting with the last trailer from Star Wars, they showed a little bit of loot. So I figured, you know, everyone wants to see a little bit more. But there was not even one sight of Luke Skywalker in the new trailer. What's up with that?
Or was there?
Mm.
Oh.
Now, what are you saying, Argar?
He said the same thing about that. He thought that maybe there's going to be some type of twist and say that Kylo Ren is actually Luke Skywalker.
No. But did you see the mechanical hand that was caressing R2-D2?
I did not.
Yeah, there's a cloaked figure.
Oh, no, yeah, I do remember that from the last trailer. But
right, it was in this trailer, too.
Luke Skywalker's face in the last one, not this time.
Well, apparently the premise is that Luke Skywalker now is a reclusive hermit-type character who is lurking in the background waiting for a young Jedi to train, much like Obi-Wan Kenobi did.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, the same thing, too. I was just expecting to see a little bit more of him, you know?
There's also a theory going around, and I want to know what you guys think about this. Is there any possibility that Luke has gone to the dark side, and that's one of the surprises of the new film?
I was thinking the same thing, too, when they were hovering over Darth Vader's skull.
I can't imagine that that's the case. Ralph, do you have any feelings on that?
Well, look, Luke has been tempted by the dark side in the past, for sure, and has been on the brink. And like father, like son, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a theme to the movie of Luke's losing his way and then perhaps a redemption on the other side. Because you don't see him with Han, you don't see him with Leia. So, look,
exactly.
Anything is possible. But it would be pretty, pretty bold for them to do that.
It would be.
Maybe feel some sort of remorse for him not saving his father.
That's true.
Sure.
All right, Chris, thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much. I don't like seeing Princess Leia sad, though. I do not enjoy Princess Leia crying.
Well, she's sad because Luke has been killed. Kylo Ren killed Luke, and he had a chance. Is it going to be Han Solo or Luke that he kills? And it's going to be him. That's
wow.
My theory. That's,
wow. Thought
yeah.
This through.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Let's
but
go
if
to
you
Long Beach.
Him down, he'll rise up stronger than before.
That's true. Let's go to Long Beach and talk to Scott. He's got a theory on this. This as well. Again, we're talking about the Star Wars trailer, which you can find at KRock.com among other places. Scott, you're on. What's good?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Well, yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, you know, all the telltale signs lead towards the, you know, Luke Skywalker being Kylo Ren. I mean, we know that he's in the film. We haven't seen his face on the poster. We haven't seen his face inside the trailer, so it's leading me to believe that Luke Skywalker is Kylo Ren. Now, whether he, you know, lost his way and became part of the Sith to avenge his father, I mean, not to mention the fact that you also see him with, you know, Darth Vader's head. I mean, you've got the mechanical hands heading R2-D2. I mean, it has all the signs that work up towards Luke Skywalker being Kylo Ren.
But at the end, when you see Kylo Ren taking on Finn, you see large hair, a lot like Adam Driver's. Plus, Kylo Ren is such a big, hulking figure, which that's what Adam Driver is. He's like an 8-foot dude. I don't think it's Luke.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, it does have its plot twist. I mean, that is the whole point of the Star Wars saga. But, I mean, it just has all those telltale signs.
But the telltale signs for you are just that you don't see his face in any other place?
Well, you don't really see his face, but we know that he's in the movie, and we know for a fact that, you know, he's a part of the storyline. And, you know, the twist that I think that would be the preferable one, I mean, even though people don't like it, is that he turns bad. I mean, just kind of like how he had to fight his father, I think it would be the exact same way in this movie.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think this movie is going to be popular. I think a lot of people are going to go see The Force
Awakens.
Not
a lot of people talking about it.
I've heard a rumor that Luke is actually BB-8.
What?
Oh. Yeah.
He's a tiny little guy inside that robot rolling around, so that could happen.
Thank you for the call, Scott. Appreciate that. Let's take calls on a couple of topics, including Michael Ann. Is that right? Or is that in Chino on line four? Michael Ann? What the hell?
You're right, Michael
what's
Ann.
What's oh, Michael Ann? What is
Michael.
That?
Michael Ann.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You have to ask my mom, but she's not here. So
okay. And is there a there's a hyphen? It's Michael hyphen Ann, and that's your first name.
No, it's actually M Y K A L A N N E.
Oh, sweet Jesus!
That's nonsense. That is tortured. Okay.
All right. Lucky we're talking to you.
What can we do for you, Michael Ann?
You know, I was just wanting to share that I've been listening since I was, I don't know, like 10, and now I am recently engaged, and it's nice to just kind of turn you guys on and kind of have, like, that comfort.
That's nice. Oh, that's very cool.
Well, congratulations on being engaged. What's that like? is that a good feeling when someone loves you?
You know what? I think everybody loves you, Allie. It's okay.
Are we invited to the wedding?
I mean, yeah, if you want to come.
That's the weakest ass invitation I've ever received.
So what I'm hearing is I love you guys, but at a great distance.
Yes. Yeah, that's the right answer. That's exactly that's the right answer.
No.
I'm coming. I'm crashing a wedding. I'm going to be drunk and belligerent.
Well, I appreciate that your fiance was able to look past your name and see you for the person you are and still want to marry you. Congratulations, Michael Ann.
Thank you.
You should change your first name instead of your last name when you get married.
Let's try Lewis. He's calling us. I guess he's listening via KRock.com or TuneIn or something. He's actually up in the Bay Area in Sunnyvale, California. Lou, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, Bean. Hey, guys.
Hey, Lou.
Bean, I don't know how you could say that Michael Ann's name is torture. You know what is torture? Your guys' ringtone. I mean, come on. I know you appeal to the lowest common denominator in terms of listeners sometimes. You guys are really scraping. But they're sophisticated enough to know that someone's on hold. You don't have to push that jingle, that 1980s telephone sound.
Oh, you're talking about this sound when we take another call? Is that the one?
Jesus Christ. Come on.
I got to tell you, you're the first person in the history of this show that is called the hate.
Oh, my God. You guys have been doing it for years.
Lewis, what phone hurt you? What happened?
Lewis,
we got to go.
Look at that. Hey, you know what? You know what? Do a Kevin and Bean scientific survey. See if people like that.
Phone's ringing off the hook, Lewis.
Yeah, there's another call coming in, Lewis. Yeah. We gotta go. I'm sorry.
We also run a customer service center here.
Gotta go. Thanks for calling. 6.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Thanks for tuning in on a Tuesday morning. If you have the time, head on down to Universal Studios Hollywood. KROQ's Vein Drain Blood Drive is in effect right now, giving out great prizes for people who stop by, whether they give out blood or not. Ralph Garman, it's your annual tradition to be out there and kind of overseeing things. How's it looking so far?
It's looking great. I mean, there was a huge crowd here this morning when we opened the doors. People have been filing in, but the place is still packed. The waiting room here is filled with people who are either ready to bleed or have bled. God bless them. Hi, guys.
We're bleeding!
And, even if you have time, come on down. If you don't have time, make the time. Quit your job, drop out of school, whatever you need to do. Just to come down here and give blood because it is absolutely appreciated and necessary. And we're also giving away some great prizes just for coming down, including tickets for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights right here at Universal Studios. The Cure, AWOL Nation, Danny Elfman, Muse, Deftones, Rancid, The Neighborhood, and many more. You can get more details at krock.com. But come on down and say hi. I'll be here till 10 o'clock. And just a great group of people, and everyone is doing the right thing for the right reason.
Yeah, and let me just throw this out there. This is my my annual, again, plea for you to give blood, because people don't realize how much blood you go through and how short the supply is. No. In general, like in Los Angeles, the supply for blood the demand is overwhelming, and it's very difficult. I mean, they have to fly in blood from lots of other states to California oftentimes because they run out of blood. I mean, that's how critical it is. They're only usually got a day or two's blood packed, you know, backed up, ready to go. And there are so many, you know, you think about car accidents, but think about all the surgeries that go on and how much blood is needed for those patients.
Right.
It really, literally can save a life if you donate blood. And today, if you're going to donate blood at all, today is the day to do it. Universal Studios Hollywood is the place to do it because Ralph is down there. There's cookies, there's juice, and there's lots of free stuff. So please definitely go do that and get all the details at KROQ.com.
Besides,
all right, let's take a look at, I'm sorry.
Besides transfusions and surgeries and stuff, let's not forget vampires also. They're,
well, yeah.
They're very, very thirsty.
And this time of year, they're everywhere.
Oh, my God. There's a smoking hot vampire that's walking around here, by the way.
Yeah, really?
I'm going to have to give her my vein. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
I know where she is. That turned dark.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some show business news. Halloween is right around the corner. I thought you guys might be interested to know. You know what the hottest Halloween costume in Mexico is right now?
Pizza
El Chapo.
It is El Chapo, Kevin. You're absolutely
right.
Yes.
I was going to guess Donald Trump, by the way. Mexico.
You know, Kevin, that is, what's your name? Bean?
That's
that is the second most popular Halloween costume in Mexico right now.
Where's Pizza Rat? Is that
Pizza Rat not on the list, Allie?
Okay.
Maybe because it happened in America. But El Chapo certainly is a local hero. And
as
an
is
infamous
Donald Trump.
Actually, he is the most popular villain, I think, in Mexico right now.
Right.
He's sort of a monster. But El Chapo, apparently, the costume exists of a prison jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. That has his actual prison number on it, 3578AJ, as we all know.
Sure.
And his costume is now the best-selling Halloween costume in Mexico this year.
Wow.
So.
Hey, Kevin, have you been following the El Chapo case? I heard that their authorities are getting very close to getting him, and they actually got wounded the other day somehow. Do you know
anything
about
that? No, I didn't see that. I'll have to brush up on my El Chapo.
Why would he ask you? That's the weirdest thing.
Well, Kevin's a big El Chapo fan.
I'm known for my research. I think it's the answer.
Sad news. Nicholas Brendan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer has checked himself into a 90-day treatment program. Well, I guess it's not really sad news. It's good news that he's getting some help because he's had a troubled couple of years. He's racked up 4 arrests during an 8-month period.
Wow.
And admits he's had a pretty bad 3 years, including some failed suicide attempts, he said. He wants to live and love and be full of joy, he announced before checking himself into the treatment center, so we wish him the best. Speaking of treatment, Lamar Odom is apparently mending, but still has significant damage that has happened due to his overdose there at the Bunny Ranch in Nevada. He has, they say he's going to at least have to undergo physical, speech, and other therapies. He has suffered some permanent brain damage. He's already still on dialysis for some kidney damage. But apparently his still wife, Khloe Kardashian, is right by his side. Here's the weird part of the story, I thought. In the wake of the Lamar Odom tragedy, business at the Love Ranch has gone through the roof. The number of Johns waiting for some action at the Love Ranch has now tripled, according to sources. And there's a 1-month wait for the suite where Lamar was staying when he overdosed.
Oh, come on.
How gruesome is that? Ghouls that want to go there?
I just think that would be the opposite of sexy feelings going into that
Wouldn't
room.
Wouldn't that
you
be
know?
Like a cautionary tale? So maybe I don't want to go down that road?
Yeah.
But Kevin has signed up, so what are you going to do?
How dare you? I wonder if Dennis Hoff, by the way, who's very opportunistic, as we all know from having him on this program before, he went on every television show, radio show, podcast that was available to talk about this Lamar Odom thing. I wonder if it was just like a massive ad campaign for the Bunny Ranch, and that had something to do with people hearing about it maybe on legitimate news sources where they wouldn't have even known it existed before.
Yeah, but you still don't want to go there after what happened, right?
No, I wouldn't think so either.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't think it's a good time to be on dialysis after a weekend in Nevada. I mean, there's been times when I've been close, but I've been able to pull myself back from the brink. And speaking of heavy partying, Blake Shelton has announced that he is now suing the In Touch Weekly magazine for printing that it was heavy drinking that caused the end of his marriage to Miranda Lambert. Apparently, the coach from The Voice says none of that is true, and he's asking for $1 million in damages. He wants people to know he doesn't have a drinking problem. He enjoys cocktails from time to time, but he said he doesn't have a drinking problem, and he will sue. And Kevin has said the same thing, so what are you going to do?
How dare you?
But, Kevin, you do have a problem. Get yourself some help.
I do.
And lastly, congratulations to Eddie Murphy. He is getting the Mark Twain Comedy Award from the Kennedy Center, the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. He accepted his award on Sunday night, and they taped the special because they show it on television. It's going to be on PBS on Sunday, November the 23rd. But for the first time in recent memory, Eddie did an impression of Bill Cosby. He used to do it, of course, on Saturday Night Live. When he was on the anniversary special, they asked him to do it, and he refused. But during his acceptance speech, he did apparently go into a Bill Cosby chunk. And PBS has announced that they are going to air Eddie's acceptance speech in its entirety. So you will get to see him doing Cosby and making sort of comments about the Cosby situation. Here's a little piece that they have released of Eddie Murphy doing his Cosby.
Did y'all make Bill give his back? No, because I know there was a big outcry from people. They was trying to get Bill to give his trophies back. You know you f***ed up when they want you to give your trophies back. You want to give his trophy back to him? He should do one show where he just come out and just talk crazy now. I would like to talk to some of the people who feel that I should give back my trophies.
I can't tell whether he's pro or
anti in that little section.
I also, by the way, don't think his Bill Cosby impression is as good as yours, Ralph.
How dare you, sir?
No, I'm serious.
It was a compliment to you, Ralph.
It did not impress me at all.
Eddie Murphy's a legend.
No, he is a legend. He's a great comedian.
Do this silly dog and pony show that we do.
Well, I'm just saying. I think your Cosby is more on point.
Well,
than
I appreciate the things that you're saying with the words that you're using for all the things that are coming out of your mouth. You see?
See?
Today's celebrity birth. What are they called? Birthdays.
Birthdays.
Celebrity
yeah.
birthdays. William Christopher from MASH. He played Father Mulcahy on that show for many years. He's 83 years old. See, Bean, there is someone older than you.
Ah, I appreciate that.
Tom Petty is 65 years old. Viggo Mortensen turns 57 years old. Kenneth Choi from Sons of Anarchy is 44 years old. Snoop Dogg also celebrates his 44th birthday today. John Krasinski of The Office fame before his successful film and TV career, 36 years old. And Candace Swanepoel.
Yes. Yes.
Are you still dating her, Kevin? Or
part-time, you know. When I have time.
Part-time.
You do make it sound like a job.
She follows me around, and I accept every once in a while
Some
when I have
people
time.
Say casually, but for Kevin, it's part-time. She's a part-time lover.
Yeah.
27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Joel McHale is carving out quite an interesting career for himself. Of course, he still hosts The Soup on E! He had Community for all those years. He popped up in Sons of Anarchy. He's on the new X-Files TV show that's coming up. Crazy guy, funny guy. He'll be joining us later on this morning. Also, Travis Barker will be here to talk about his new autobiography next hour as well. Kevin, it's tough being rich, man.
I haven't seen this before, but there are such a thing as a wealth therapist.
My understanding is, and we do have a someone on the phone that is going to help walk us through this, but my understanding is that it's very difficult to be rich because there are people who feel guilty about being rich. There are people who are made to feel like they need to hide or feel ashamed of their money. There are people who feel that rich people shouldn't be complaining about anything because they're rich so that their problems aren't real. And there is now a market in New York City for an occupation called a wealth therapist. This is a psychiatrist that you go to who specializes in problems for the 1%.
There's a therapist in this article that says he does a gluten-free walk and talk with super rich.
So I don't know what the specific problems are here. What do the rich have to complain about? I guess it's a question a lot of people would be asking. So the one person we know to go to whenever we have trouble navigating our way through the complicated world in which we live is our friend Bruce Endicott from the organization known as Coffee. And Bruce joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mr. Endicott, thanks so much for coming back on, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm wealthy.
You certainly are, yeah. Now, Coffee, for listeners who may not remember, stands for what, sir?
It's the Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay. So we should not be laughing at the prospect of a wealth therapist. I suspect you're going to tell us that this is a legitimate thing that is needed for the 1%.
Absolutely. Listen, the one thing up here at McAfee that we believe in is everyone should be treated equally, and there should be no one who is persecuted for what they are. And I'll tell you, the very, very rich, we're talking the 1%, they're one of the last remaining minorities that you can make fun of and still get away with in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's horrible to be as rich as we are and have people say things, oh, hey, spoiled guy, hey, rich dude with no money problems. It's hurtful.
Oh, it sounds awful. It must be pretty isolating for you.
It's a lot of people don't even want to come out as rich.
Right.
You know, they'll walk around pretending to be, you know, one of you people and just wearing regular clothes and driving, you know, hybrids.
Right.
And to come out as rich is as difficult as coming out of the closet for a gay person.
Oh,
well, that seems
on.
I'm not positive that's
crazy
true.
And absurd, Bruce.
It's harder to be rich than it is to be Jewish or black or gay. Let's face it.
Okay,
none of
that
is true.
Because
Bruce.
There's less of us, and when the war comes, who's going to fight? Right?
What
are you talking about?
Well, eventually there'll be a war, a class and race war, right? We can all agree on that.
Well, we're hoping that's not the case. Yeah.
Well, we're all hoping for it, but come on, right?
Well, I will tell you this, Bruce, and I'm serious about this. I give this a lot of thought, especially during presidential campaigns, because every candidate, no matter how wealthy they are, is up there bagging on the rich. Like Hillary Clinton, who's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, all she does is go around the country talking about how she's going to stick it to rich people if she's elected.
You're proving my point. They all try to hide their enormous wealth because they're ashamed of it. And I think this therapist is going to great lengths to try to get people to say, I'm rich, I'm here, get used to it.
So what's the big problem with having too much money? Because it does seem like that would make it more comfortable for you to not have to worry about putting food on the table and a roof over your head. What's so bad about being rich?
I think so, but it's just – mo money, mo problems. That's all. First of all, try to find a tailor that will make you clothing out of solid.
Out of solid what?
That's easy. Solid gold thread.
Oh, well, I don't know why anyone would need that, Bruce. It seems like you don't need to find a tailor like that.
Have you ever worn a suit made out of gold?
No, of course not.
It's awesome.
Why would you?
With diamond buttons.
Okay,
I have platinum underwear on right now, and it's making my testicles feel spectacular.
That just seems like you're just bragging for the sake of bragging, though. That doesn't even sound comfortable.
Not bragging. I'm telling you, it's a problem. What about when you go on a human hunt? Who's going to round up all the people for you when you release them on the island?
A human hunt?
That's
not a thing. Nobody does that. You don't hunt humans.
Oh, right, that's right. I forgot. Nobody does that. Oops.
Travis Barker, our friend from everything, including Blink 182 and the Aquabats and his solo records and all the great stuff he's done throughout the years with so many musical artists, is going to be joining us at 8 o'clock this morning. We've got him for the full hour talking about his brand new autobiography that is available in stores and for download today called Can I Say. Love Travis Barker. Looking forward to talking about that coming up. First, though, got to talk about something that may change the restaurant industry. I can't tell you how excited I am to hear this report and the jazz band that is backing the young lady telling it to us.
This is a serious topic, but for some reason, they're in a jazz club.
Well, and maybe that's where the people are tipping,
and
in the
woman
jazz club.
Who's speaking is behind the band. There you go.
Many restaurant owners have long considered getting rid of tipping, much to the chagrin of their employees. But in recent months, the argument against tipping has been louder than ever. Last month, Bar Margo, a restaurant in Pittsburgh, announced it would ban tips in favor of giving servers a guaranteed $35,000 per year salary.
Okay. Can you stop for
They're
a sec?
They're also offering its employees health
Can you stop? Hey. Stop for a sec. I'm having trouble concentrating. What is she even talking about? All I picture is her doing jazz hands on stage.
Aren't
What's happening here?
And the Jets fighting behind her? Are Tony and Maria trying to work out their problems?
Schroeder was at the piano. What is happening?
I believe she's talking about restaurants that are getting rid of tipping.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll try again to
All
hear
right.
it. Here we go.
And shares in the business. By the year 2018, both San Francisco and Seattle will be paying its servers a $15 per hour minimum wage before tips. But in the meantime, San Francisco's Michelin-starred Venue and Atelier Crème are adding a service charge to guest checks.
Okay.
In lieu
all right.
Of
stop again. Stop again.
So what she's saying is they're going to make your check more expensive so that they can just put the servers on a salary and you don't have to tip.
But she's saying that in a free-form spoken word jazz fusion performance art piece?
It's a strange choice. I'm not sure I would have chosen it.
Yeah, what man. The man will pay the server, but the server will not know why. Scooby-dee-bop. Yeah.
This service charge allows owners to share tips with cooks and other workers, which helps balance the pay disparity between the front of house and back of house workers in a state where servers are already paid the full minimum wage. Will the tipping debate still be raging by then?
Okay.
Or will the tide turn towards abolishing tipping altogether?
That's enough.
Only time will tell.
Okay,
darkness falls, but who tips the moon?
All right, so here's the topic then.
Why did they use that music?
I don't know.
And why didn't they want us to hear the reporter?
Is that the topic?
That's the topic. So instead of going into a restaurant and having the bill be $11 and you lay down $3 for the nice lady, now the bill will be $14 and there will be no tipping allowed and the nice lady is going to make more money? That's what we're led to believe here, or no? Or is it bad for the nice lady? It's good for the nice lady, right?
Why are we calling her a nice lady?
How do we know she's nice?
Right.
And a lady.
You don't know that.
I'm just saying. I mean, who are we doing? Why was this change made? To serve who? Is it supposed to be better for the public, better for the waitress, better for the owner of the restaurant? Who benefits from
this? I think the cooks benefit from it because of the disparity between the front of house and then the cooks.
Right. Now, Ralph, you were a server for a long time, right?
For many years, yes.
Okay, so you would tip those people out, right?
It varied from restaurant to restaurant. Ordinarily, you would tip out your busboys, you know, anybody who would help you with your service process. And then the kitchen staff was paid separately whatever wage they had worked out with the restaurant. So usually it was front of house. You would tip out your bartenders, your busboys, you know, the guys who helped you serve the food, to take the orders and serve the food, and then the back of the house was a separate financial arrangement.
Many restaurant owners have long considered getting rid of tipping, much to the chagrin of their employees.
All right, so is this good? Is this bad?
All right, I'd like to hear from servers is what I'd like to hear from.
Yeah, yes, Ralph.
I don't think it's good for the servers. I don't.
Because they'll make less money?
I think in the long run they will. I mean, if you're good at what you do. I think you would, first of all, you only tip out you only pay taxes on a certain percentage of what they assume your tips are going to be. So a lot of the time you make more money than whatever that estimate is, and you're taking a lot of money home that's not taxed initially, which was a great way to make a little extra cash.
Right, right, right.
And I also think it's a motivating factor where you knew if you gave great service to a table, sometimes you would get better than the standard 15%. You could get 20, 22% sometimes. And it was a motivating factor for you to do your job as well as
Ralph,
you could.
What percentage of people didn't leave a tip?
Very few.
Just guess. Okay.
Very few. I mean, it would really stand out if someone stiffed you. I mean, obviously, that's not the norm. Most people would average at least 15%, and then I think most people would round up, you know, whatever. They tend to, you know, would round up on the bill when they're filling out their charge slip or whatever. But usually, I figured I made 18 to 20% usually.
We're going to take some calls, particularly from servers, if you think that this is a good idea, because it is being tried in a number of restaurants in New York right now, and it is already starting to spread. This experiment is already starting to spread across the country. There may be places in Los Angeles that are already doing this. But we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let me throw out a couple of the other reasons why it might be good for servers, Ralph, and see if this sounds right to you. What about on those slow nights when nobody wants to work on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday because you know it's going to be slow and you're not going to make a lot of money in tips? Now you're making the same amount of money as you would be making on a Friday, Saturday. Does that help at all?
Yeah. I mean, but I don't think that's the case in most restaurants. Usually, the standard is for the people coming in that would be the norm. I mean, you get usually the same amount of traffic. Rarely you get an anomaly where you have a really quiet night where nobody's coming in. But it always worked out to be about the same in my experience. I think that would be bad for the restaurant owners then, wouldn't it? I mean, if you're paying out the same amount of salary
a higher salary to a wait staff, and you're not taking in the number of covers at a table, and you're not selling the amount of food and beverages you usually sell.
Yeah, that would be.
You're not taking in the money. They're making up for what you are paying out of pocket to your staff, right? At least if it's tipped, then you know you're counting on the restaurant customers that come in to offset whatever those people need to make.
I feel like a big motivating factor for this in New York City was this huge turnover for the guys, the cooks, and back there because they weren't making enough. So there was this turnover because rents were so high, they kept leaving. So this is one way to ensure keeping those guys.
Some money.
Why don't they pay the kitchen staff a higher salary and not mess with the front of house?
Leave the wait staff out of it, right? Yeah. Not their issue, right? Let's take a call before the break, and I want it to be Carrie in San Gabriel on line one. She has some concerns about how this will affect the service that we get in restaurants if there aren't tips involved. Carrie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for calling. What's going on?
Hey, so it's Terry with the T.
Hi, Terry.
But, you know, so that's okay. So let's say there's five of us. We're all eating a couple of bottles of wine, a few entrees, and we love the restaurant. We've been going there for years, but we get not a great waitress,
right?
And she doesn't do her job, and we're like, she does not deserve 18%. I will give her, like, you know, 9 to 12 or something. How are we able to define how the amount that we want to tip? What if we don't want to tip at all because she was really bad?
It's out of your hands at this point. If this goes through, she's getting a salary just like most of the other service people that you encounter. I mean, you don't tip the person at the dry cleaner. They just make what they make, whether they do a good job or not.
You think that's a bad idea?
No, I think that if my dry cleaners does a good job, I tip them. And if they don't, then I make a comment and they work with me and they give me a discount. Right?
So,
I mean, everything's negotiable.
So you're upset then, Terry, that you have no way to punish the wait staff. It sounds like you're trying to hurt people who are serving you, and there's no way to do that with the tipping out of the equation.
Okay, what is the motivation for great service?
I mean, keeping your job, I guess, is what the motivation would be. You're being paid a good salary, and you have to do a nice job in order to not get fired.
Think across the board, you probably get better service if they're trying to get tips.
Yeah,
I agree. Of course, yeah. I was a waitress, and yes, of course, I didn't want to be nice to some people, but I needed that tip. But
Name
now,
them.
If they don't want to be nice, they don't have to.
You know, I think she's got a point. I think, Terry, I think it will flatten out the service experience because there will be no motivation to go that extra mile if you're getting a flat salary.
Yeah, no one's going above and beyond.
No, because it's a crappy job, and the only reason you put the smile on and you force yourself to be personality plus is because you're depending on them giving you a little extra money. And I think it does take a certain amount of power out of the customer's hand, too, even whether it's perceived or real, that they feel like they don't get to have a say-so regarding what their comment is on the service by how much money they leave. I think there's a certain power that comes with that people enjoy.
But, Ralph, I got to tell you, I got to be honest. And, Terry, thank you so much for the call. We really appreciate it. A lot of waitresses flirt with me, and I think it's because they are really into me.
Well, that's true. Well, look, you're a dynamic, attractive man. I mean, but not everybody is in that situation, Bean.
Wow.
They're not just sucking up for a good tip is what I'm saying. They mean it.
Right.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. I want to talk to servers. No tipping. What do you think? Good idea, bad idea? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Jesus Christ. I mean, these ladies aren't starving to death. They make minimum wage. You know, I used to work minimum wage, and when I did, I wasn't lucky enough to have a job the society deemed tip-worthy.
You don't care? They'd count on your tips to live?
You know what this is? It's the world's smallest violin playing just for the waitresses.
You don't have any idea what you're talking about. These people bust their ass. This is a hard job.
So is working at McDonald's, but you don't feel the need to tip them, do you? Why not? They're serving you food. But no, society says, don't tip these guys over here, but tip these guys over here. That's bull****.
Waitressing is the number one occupation for female non-college graduates in this country. It's the one job basically any woman can get and make a living on. The reason is because of their tips.
All that.
Mr. Pink never tips. That's the takeaway of today's Kevin and Bean Show. We are talking about the big news out of Manhattan. The Union Square Hospitality Group has instituted a zero gratuity universal policy. It's the first time a major American restaurant group has done that. And now we're wondering if this is going to be a sea change in the restaurant industry if you no longer can tip. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Lynn this time around, please, Kevin. She's on line 5. She's calling from L.A. She is an ex-server, and it sounds like she is again it.
Hey, Lynn.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. You think this sounds like a terrible idea?
It is horrible. It is absolutely horrible. I mean, what we have to go through is insane. Order customers that sit at our table for 3.5 hours. How is that justified if you're on a salary or hourly basis?
Well, I didn't think about that. The people that stay forever.
Yeah.
But then isn't the other side of that argument, yeah, you're not turning over the tables as fast, but it's not costing you any tips because you're on salary. You don't have to move them in and out as fast for new customers and new tips.
But sometimes those parties at 3 hours, or at least where I worked at a higher-end restaurant, they would understand, okay, I'm taking your table, I appreciate you, I appreciate your time, and then they'd compensate me for it at the end of it. I mean, right. That didn't happen all the time, but...
Yeah, but what Bean is saying is that you will be compensated because just the amount of hours that you put in the job, you will get an extra amount of money for each of those hours.
Correct.
Okay. Right.
Okay. All right.
I feel like we're at a standstill.
You won me over, Lynn. Yeah, thanks so much for
worse,
the call.
It'd be worse to have campers who stay there for 3 hours and then they just tip you the standard 15% on that. At least if you're getting an hourly wage, you're getting additional money for each hour that they're sitting there. It might actually work out to be your benefit if you had long people sitting there for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in most situations, ideally what you would like to see happen is...
I'm sorry, Bean, what?
Is she going to talk again?
We can't talk about this unless there's a jazz fusion band behind us.
I guess what you would have to do is see how much it turned out to be on salary versus what you were getting on tips, and I think you're going to go for whichever one is more.
It's
all right,
loud,
that's
Kevin.
Fine. Let's okay. talk to Chris. I want to hear from a restaurant manager. We've been talking to a bunch of servers. Let's go to Downey, line 2, please, and see what Chris has to say on this topic. What about no tipping, Chris? What say you?
It scares me, man. It's going to deplete my entire server team. I mean, that's the draw, is to come in, work 5 or 6 hours, and make $100. That's the goal. The back-of-house team members get paid a higher wage in most cases. I can understand mom-and-pop restaurants where they're paying everyone minimum wage. But entry-level position for a cook with experience is $12, $13.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. I mean, the good news is, it's voluntary. This isn't like the government coming in and saying you can't tip. So if a restaurant chooses to keep the current policy of allowing tips, you're certainly allowed to. But I think it just sounds like there are a bunch of restaurants who want to try it this other way, too.
I don't understand the upside for the restaurant, though. Why would you want to assume... the weight of having to give extra money to your employees, which was previously assumed by the clientele. The customers would augment their salary. You wouldn't have to pay it out of pocket. I don't see how it benefits the restaurants at all.
Well, they're raising the price of the food to cover that, right?
They would have to be that. And then also, too, is you're going into a really gray area where you're touching the server's tips if you're adding a gratuity. I know for larger chain restaurants, we don't touch the server's tips. We don't tell anybody how to tip out. It's all based on the performance and what your team did for you.
Chris, let me get your take on what Ralph was talking about earlier about the disparity between the front-of-house people and the back-of-house people. How do you handle that? What do you pay the people who are working as the busboys and the cooks and the cleaners and those types of people?
All of the positions that are tipped out are food runners, our busers, and our servers. They're all minimum wage because I have the option to make tips. As far as the back-of-house wages, it varies. Like I said, it can go anywhere from $12 to $15 based off your experience. It's still a competitive market.
All right. All right, good. Thank you.
All right, Kevin allowed.
Kevin's okay with that.
All right, good. Sweet.
All right, so
prove the way you run your restaurant.
Our takeaway is what? Good idea, bad idea. What have we decided here?
I think people should leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Ralph, one of our listeners who was already down there this morning, Universal Studios Hollywood Giving Blood, just tweeted out a photo of your magnificent couch from which you were broadcasting this
yes.
morning. You look like a king on a throne, man.
It is luxurious and comfy, and I may take a nap during Travis Barker. I'll have to wait and see.
It is the K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood Drive. Bring us up to speed. What's going on down there at Universal?
We're down here at Universal Studios Hollywood. We are in the Globe Theater, if you're looking for us. You park there in the Frankenstein parking lot, and you come on up. And you'll see the line. People still lined up. People, there's a big waiting room full of people. Say, give yourself a round of applause, people.
for showing up. Everybody is here to give blood. It is not just a nice thing to do, but also we got a ton of prizes just for coming down. We've got tickets for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights here and The Cure and AWOL Nation, Danny Elfman, Muse, Deftones, Rancid, The Neighborhood, and many, many more. So we also want to give special thanks to Fox's Scream Queens, which I love. Are you guys watching that series?
Yes.
I love that series. It is so much fun and scary and funny and a great cast. It's from the creators of American Horror Story and Glee, and there's an all-new Scream Queens tonight on Fox. I want to thank them for helping us put on the blood drive. So
good times. All right, we'll talk to Travis Barker about his autobiography, available in stores today, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Rob's got the showbiz beat now for Tuesday.
Speaking of Universal, and today, Jurassic World comes out on DVD today.
Yeah!
So if you're one of the seven people who haven't seen that movie yet, you can finally pick it up on DVD. While we're talking about movies, last night during Monday Night Football, oh, what a game, by the way. Just seven turnovers. And,
it was the worst game ever.
It looked like Pop Warner. But I'll take the win for my Philadelphia Eagles.
Somebody posted last night, hey, for those of you who are just tuning into Monday Night Football for the Star Wars trailer, football is usually played better than this.
Yeah, don't use this to judge all football by. At halftime, they did show the Star Wars The Force Awakens latest trailer, and everybody's talking about it today. Who is who, and who's the hero, and who's the villain? As far as I could tell, it looks pretty much like a mirror of the first Star Wars film, which was the fourth Star Wars film, if that follows at all. A New Hope, and it looks like Mark Hamill's character, Luke Skywalker, is being mirrored by Daisy Ridley's character, Rey, who she seems to be sort of a dreamer who's trapped on a desert planet, and she's looking up at the horizon and watching people fly starships and stuff, and she dreams of a better life. And then you've got Kylo Ren, who looks and sounds a lot like a Darth Vader-type character, and he's got Vader's skull, and he's obviously following in his footsteps. Harrison Ford returns as Han Solo, and the people are asking, where's Luke Skywalker in the trailer? But there is one brief glimpse of a mechanical hand you see up against R2-D2 and a cloaked figure. And I'm assuming Luke Skywalker takes on the Ben Obi-Wan Kenobi type role as the keeper of the Force until it's time for the new Jedi to arise. So we'll have to wait and see. But I thought the trailer was terrific and a lot of people very excited.
Did any of us go online to buy tickets in advance?
Come on.
I didn't.
Yes.
Allie, when are you going to see it?
7 o'clock Arclight. On the 17th.
Wow, check you out.
So Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Take it easy.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
We need to have that conversation at some point
again.
Which is...
What's the conversation?
No, we don't.
Which is, how soon do you need to see a movie, even if you really want to go? Like, I've decided that I'm just not going to fight my way into a movie theater to see this film. I'll see it, about a week later, or whenever the crowds die down a little bit, I'll go at a leisurely pace and I'll go and enjoy the film. I'm really looking forward to it, but I don't want to deal with the mania of trying to get into the theater during the first day.
It's not like I tried for the Dome. I just went for the regular theater. So.
Sure, right?
Oh well, that, I'm not crazy.
Ridiculous.
So, yeah.
I didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
It's official. Everybody now has a reality show. They just got to the last person.
Everybody.
Yep. They just announced this week that Charo is getting her own reality show.
Oh, come on.
Charo. I kid you not. Charo.
Coochie-coochie.
The coochie-coochie girl, yes. It'll be about her family's adventures from their life in Beverly Hills to their Hawaii property. Moving from Beverly Hills to Hawaii, it'll also feature her son, who's an aspiring actor, and her nephew, who's a heavy metal guitarist.
Nope.
Ralph, 98% of our listeners have no idea who Charo is. So please explain why this woman, A, how is she still alive, but B, how she needs a reality TV series.
Apparently she has a certain following amongst the Latino population. Charo is still some sort of celebrity.
No, but seriously.
No, but seriously. The title of the show, by the way?
Is No, But Seriously?
Okay. Any guesses on the new Charo reality series
coochie,
title?
Coochie,
no. Oh. It would be great, by the way. Coochie, coochie. Charo in Charge.
No.
I'm not kidding.
Really?
That's pretty good.
Charo in Charge.
That's pretty good.
Our nights and our days.
She used to be on lots of TV shows back in the 60s and 70s.
She was all shows all the time.
She's a very popular guest for game shows and, guest starring on things like Love Boat. And she was a popular late night guest. And she, I mean, she wasn't a comedian, but she was always trying to be funny. But she was some sort of a savant musician, right? Like, she was
She's
a
one of the
brilliant
great flamenco guitarist players of all time.
Yeah. Which is crazy because she totally has, you know, the va-va-voom going on, if you get my meaning.
Oh, my God.
Really?
The
really?
Va-va-voom?
Yes. Wait, really?
Are we still at war with Germany? Are we living post Pearl Harbor America?
Meaning that she's, you know, very curvy, yeah, very, you know, Sofia Vergara like.
I'll tell you, she's the cat's pajamas. She's got the va va boom, if you know what I'm saying. Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea.
But isn't she like 80 for reals though?
I don't mid-60s. Have my Charo fact sheet here at my fingertips, B.
I just feel like she's so old, I'm surprised that they would look at her and go, yes, reality TV is where we need to put Charo.
Charo is 64.
She is 64 years old.
Okay.
And she is still not old enough to say va-va-voom.
That's true. By the way.
And more TV news. It looks like with the advent of these new TV outlets with Hulu and Netflix and Amazon, we're going to just get every TV show we've ever watched is going to come back. It looks like a Gilmore Girls revival is in the works.
Yay! Kids are excited.
Yes!
Thank you, Dave.
It's Dave.
I'm with Dave.
The show has been off the air for more than 8 years, but Netflix may be picking up the series and returning the original cast, including Lauren Graham and Alexis Bledel and Scott Patterson. They would all be back to reprise their roles so we can find out if Lorelai goes shopping. Who cares?
It is a show that a lot of people have very warm, fuzzy feelings about.
It was fine for what it was, and it was lovely, and we watched. Okay, can we move on now? Do we have to go back to the Gilmore Girls?
But wasn't the deal that the creator of the show ended up very, very much like Aaron Sorkin during The West Wing? She ended up getting fired from her own show, so somebody else came in and wrote the last season, and it didn't end the way the creator wanted it to end, and she's always wanted a redo. So I think that's what this is all about, is this is her chance to end the show the way she wanted it to end.
Bean has a lot of information on the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, he gets behind the scenes. Lorelai newsletter.
I just hope Charo shows up, that's all. I hope she's a special guest. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. William Christopher from the TV series MASH played Father Mulcahy on that popular TV show. 83 years old today. Tom Petty is 65. Viggo Mortensen, the actor, is 57. Kenneth Choi from Sons of Anarchy turns 44. Snoop Dogg, also 44 today. John Krasinski is 36. And Candace Swanepoel celebrates her 27th birthday today. Kevin, are you still part-time dating her?
Maybe.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, Bisbee.
All right. The good news is that Travis Barker is here. Bad news is he's just pulled into the K-Rock parking lot, so we'll have him in a couple of minutes. And that is great for us because – give me some music here, Chip. This gives us the opportunity – to discuss what we've been hearing about all goddamn morning since 5 o'clock from Ally McKay about the A Force Awakens Star Wars trailer.
We are going to give you now the definitive behind-the-scenes secret facts about what this movie is about. Now we're going to spoil it for you right now because Ally has the definitive...
So the trailer debuted last night during Monday Night Football and obviously immediately just destroyed the internet, and it's been viewed millions of times already, and everybody has a theory about what we're seeing, what we're not seeing, what does it all mean. But now, ladies and gentlemen, we present for you the truth.
Again, this is not my theory. Oh, it's something it's I read, and it made me think. But it also made me laugh.
Okay.
Because there was a 90s Star Wars series called Jedi Prince.
Okay.
Sure.
Where Kylo Ren was not known as Kylo Ren. He was known as Ken.
Just one word,
just
Ken?
His name is Ken, but he is Emperor Palpatine's grandson, this Ken guy. Could Ken possibly be what is now Kylo Ren? Kylo Ren, Ken. Are you?
Hold on. Emperor Palpatine had a grandson named Ken.
Which is amazing.
Did he keep his photo on his desk at the evil headquarters? That's my grandson Ken there.
Yeah. Who's that? Oh, that's Ken.
He's playing some flag football over there in Tatooine.
Listen, this is just something I read about with my Google alerts for Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. But so this could actually be like it's more Attack of the Clones. So you've got it kind of follows that storyline, but it adds up. There's very similar. Timelines.
So the new Star Wars bad guy is Ken?
Yeah. He is Ken.
Does he take on Debbie Skywalker?
We will soon see. But yeah, people are like, is Kylo Ren, is it Luke's son? Is it Han Solo and Princess Leia's son? All of these theories. But no one has brought up if he is Emperor Palpatine's grandson named Ken.
So right? he's just a bad dude from way back then, right? Is he following in Grandpa's footsteps?
Apparently he originally started out as a good dude. So he was raised and maybe he was like going along the lines of a Jedi and then he was always attracted to the dark side.
He was good when he was Ken.
Right. But Luke and Ken basically swap for Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin is what the storyline comes from.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just
when Brian Solo comes along,
yes,
and they're teeing off at the golf club,
and Princess Tiffany, you know, could happen.
I feel like we're lowering the stakes on the whole franchise here today.
Listen.
Hey, it could be Ken. You don't know.
You don't know, man.
It's just Ken, though. It's not Ken exclamation point even. It's just Ken, right?
And here's the best part that I left out of this theory: the people that came up with this theory had a typo when they were typing in Kylo Ren, they put Ken in, and then realized there was this book called The Jedi Prince, and that's where the whole theory comes from.
Wow.
A typo.
My brain hurt.
The whole theory comes from a typo.
But
in other words, that's what put it on their radar, and then they researched and said, wait a minute, we may have just stumbled onto the mystery of The Force Awakens. I see. All right.
If it means anything to anyone, I've heard that J.J. Abrams is jettisoning all of the books that have been written. All the stuff outside of the movie canon has been pretty much ignored. That he's sticking only with what happened
in
other
films.
Except for Ken, of course. Ken made the cut.
I'll give you $100 if it turns out to be Ken.
Wouldn't it be amazing?
Me $5 if it doesn't.
Ken.
Okay.
Right. Kenny. Kenny, what's up with the dark side, Kenny? What's up, brother?
All right.
God, they killed Kenny.
We're gonna let you ruminate on that theory for the next 2 months until we see the movie. A quick break. Coming right back with Travis Barker. His new book is out. It is called Can I Say? Living Large, Cheating Death, and Drums, Drums, Drums. Looking forward to this. It's next on K-Rock.
Travis Barker! Yeah!
Musician and producer, founder of Famous Stars and Straps, and longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, Travis Barker joins us in studio on K-Rock right now. Hey, Trav, what's going on, man?
Well, that was the best introduction I've ever had in my life. That was awesome.
Well, heads up for DJ Omar Khan who did that. Yeah, he does good work.
He killed it.
Travis is here. Of all the times we've had you, this is the first time we've been able to introduce you as an author. The book is called Can I Say? Living Large, Cheating Death, and Drums, Drums, Drums. It is available today at all book retailers. Get your ass down to wherever you buy books or online wherever you buy books and get a copy of this book because it is fascinating. Travis, what made you write a book?
You know, after my accident, you know, I'd been hit up a couple times to talk to different people or even the possibility of writing a book. And for so long, it was like a Band-Aid. I just wasn't ready to take off. And it just, you know, it came to a time where I was good. You know, I was sober. I wasn't battling some of the demons that I was battling right after the accident, and the time came where I actually started thinking about it, and then I met with Gavin Edwards, who was like a Rolling Stone journalist and had went to Iraq with us, and then that brought a whole different idea to my head because he's so rooted in music, and it wouldn't be like I'm sitting with someone trying to explain to them who I am. This guy had such a great idea of who I was, because he spent so much time with me, you know, and I met with him, and it was kind of awesome.
You felt it.
Yeah, it was kind of awesome. I was just like, if anything, it was scary because my comfort level with him was so great, you know.
Well, and we definitely do want to talk about the chapters on the accident and your recovery, which were just, I mean, hard to read with what you went through. But I want to start back at the beginning, because this is the stuff that I didn't know about you that I was so interested in the book, about the way you grew up. You were a juvenile delinquent, Travis.
Yeah, a bit.
and I was so fascinated by this because your parents were great. Your parents seemed so loving and so involved and so into you and so supportive of you, yet you turned out so bad as a kid. What do you suppose that was about, with all of the vandalism and all of the shoplifting and the drinking and all the bad choices that you made? Why do you suppose you were such a rough kid when you came from such a good whole family?
I mean, yeah, I had the best parents in the world, so supportive and great, and you know, I think they did a good job, but I think I was always trying to test the boundaries. I was always trying to see exactly how much I could get away with.
It was fascinating that you said that your mom used to sit on your drum lessons and record them.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, wow, I don't know of another mom that doesn't want to get out of the house when the kid's playing drums.
I know.
Learning to play drums.
Yeah, it's usually the opposite. Like, my dad would drive us. And sometimes it was far, you know. He would drive us. We would listen to Buck Owens and Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash in the car. When we got there, I mean, by the time when my mom passed away, she was as good as a drummer as I was.
Is that right?
Because she had learned pretty much anything that I had learned. So if I wasn't paying attention or, you know, whatever, she had pretty much was like a sponge and kind of absorbed it all too. So if I got home and I was like, I don't know how to do this, she could help me. And they were really... You know, I said it the other day, you know, they were really, you know, very disciplined with, like, you know, you've got to practice X amount of time a day or you can't go outside. And I think that that really helped me. I think as, like, kids, you know, you got to find something they're good at, and mm-hmm. it helps their confidence. And drumming was definitely mine, because I had spent so much time, you know, playing.
You sort of discovered it by seeing Animal.
Yeah, yeah. Some people, you know, grew up, even nowadays, whatever, seeing whoever, who would it be, myself or Tommy Lee or whoever, like, mine wasn't a person. It wasn't a human drummer. It was Animal, you know, because the Muppets were so huge right then. So my first glimpse of a drummer was Animal, and I was hooked.
Like, Allie, you getting all the feels right now?
Heard
about
me,
the Muppets?
Allie's first love was Fozzie.
Yeah, really? He was my first
crush.
So
we have something in common.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel you on this.
So I was running around the house, like, eating cymbals and imitating Animal, you know?
Yeah.
That was me.
How long did you try to eat the cymbals, Travis?
Probably until I lost all my teeth. It was uncomfortable. But no, I mean, that was everything. So for a lot of people that didn't know that, like, being able to battle Animal years back on Jimmy Kimmel was, like, you know,
one of the highlights of your life.
Yeah, easily.
You talk about how young you were when you fell in love with the drums. And when I read this book, I thought, here's a guy who was put on this earth for one thing only, and that is to play the drums. Do you even have the earliest memory, or what have you been told about when people knew that that was your thing?
My mom called it when I was playing Pots and Pans. Like, she turned to my dad one day and was like, he does this for hours. Like, he's going to be a drummer. I guarantee it. And then...
Are you positive she wasn't saying, is there something wrong with this?
Yeah, is there something we could do with him? I think that's how I occupied myself. You know, my sisters were into dancing and singing, and I would just sit around and play Pots and Pans. And then they bought me, oddly enough, a Muppet drum kit, Animal drum kit. And then I played that forever. Like, I was taking lessons and learning how to read music on this Animal drum kit, you know?
It's all you ever wanted to do with your whole life as a career, right, is play drums.
Yeah, as kids, like, you know, I talk about it in the book as well. Like, you know, every year my mom would have me fill out this paper and this binder, and it would say, like, what do you want to be when you get older? And I never flipped it and said superhero or fireman or
Yeah, because most of us change a lot.
Yeah,
like, I want to be a fireman, I want to be an astronaut, I want to play in the NBA.
Mine was drummer every year. Sometimes skateboarder was right next to it as I got older, because I was obsessed with skateboarding, but drums was, that was my everything. That's all I wanted to do.
Travis Barker's here. Again, we're talking about his book that's available finally today, called Can I Say Living Large, Cheating Death, and Drums, Drums, Drums. All right, so you knew drums was your thing, and you knew that's what you wanted to do for a living. I was fascinated, and you told us this story before, but when I read in the book, it really hit home about how you intentionally got rid of any possibility of getting real, quote-unquote, work, so that you'd have to find work as a drummer, which is what you wanted to do. And that's part of why you ended up tattooing your whole body, right?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, my dad had said, like, you know, you're coming home with all these tattoos. You know, you're going to pigeonhole yourself into never having a plan B. And these are job stoppers. Like, no one's going to hire you like that.
And he thought that was a negative. And yeah. To you, that was a positive. He You're like, all right.
Yeah, he said it. And somehow it came to me backwards where I was like, oh, okay, I get it. So
if I get enough tattoos. More.
Yeah, I was like, that's how I keep myself from conforming and getting a job and everything. And, you know, for me, it was very realistic because my only goal was to play drums, which is something I love, find a way to get, you know, paid enough money to eat and sleep somewhere.
And that was it, though. You didn't, like, you didn't dream of being a famous rock star or anything. It was just, I want to play drums and I just need to eat.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, it wasn't like, I want to be the most famous drummer in the world or I want $1 million. I felt guilty even dreaming so big like that, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just, that's all I wanted to do. So that's, when I heard him say that, it resonated in my head, but I had flipped it. I'd flipped it on him, you know. And I was like, okay, this is perfect. I'm going to tattoo my body. I'm going to, you know, keep, yeah, obviously I love tattoos already, but I saw it like as like, I like tattoos and this is going to keep me from ever giving myself an out.
Your dad probably walked away from that conversation going, all right, I talked him out
Nailed
of it.
Nailed
it. No more tattoos for Trav. Everything's good. Yeah.
You know what's cool is he has tattoos now.
Yeah. Oh, does he?
Yeah, you know, it went from like, I'm going to kick your butt and I'm going to kick your butt out of the house if you ever get tattooed to, you know, him having a couple of the same tattoos I do.
But that's so sweet because, I mean, he admires you. You're a role model to him now with what you've accomplished. And I think that's his way of showing you that. I mean, you always want your dad to be proud of you. And you know that your dad is, Travis. And that's got to make you feel so happy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got the best pops ever, you know.
What's your perspective on the young Travis Barker who refused to have a plan B so that he could drum for a living? As an adult, when you look at that now, do you still, I mean, obviously it worked out for you, but that can't be good advice for the kids, right?
It is and it isn't, you know. I think like some kids, I mean, you got to be determined and you got to be, you know, ready to give 110%. And if you're not, don't go and do something like that. But for me, it was like, I really, you know, I didn't care if I had new clothes every week or I had the flyest car or whatever it was. It was like, I'm so passionate about playing music. That's all I wanted to do.
There were times you described when you were younger that you were in the not cool section of kids because you played the drums.
Yeah, I mean, in the band, you know, you're called like, you know, you march out to the field and like the football players are cool and they're calling you like nerd herd, you know. It was like, you know, so for me, I didn't mind taking on that role because I had bigger plans, you know.
I also was impressed, Travis, at how little you cared about money and still do to this matter. I mean, you happen to have it now, but it's certainly not your driving motivation. I mean, you lived really not even paycheck to paycheck, just, you know, whatever someone would give you in some points in your life, sleeping for years at a time, basically on somebody's floor or on their futon or something like that. And it never seemed to bother you because you at night were living the dream.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing what I loved. So if that, you know, I have a point where I was in Laguna and I was staying on my friend Noel's couch, you know, and there was like sometimes there was three or four of us staying in this little studio apartment when I was in this band called Feeble. And I look back at it, and it was honestly one of the best times of my life, like one of the happiest times of my life. I was in Laguna. I was a trash man, and I was playing in a band I absolutely loved. So it was like I didn't have no money, but money didn't really make me happy.
This is a good thing to bring up, too, because every time you tell a story like that in your book, you have them write about, and your sisters write, and your dad writes, and everybody sort of is point counterpoint to what you're saying, and it's really interesting that way.
Yeah, I've like read so many books where I'm like wondering if it's all BS, and you know, I always think like I wish like a book could make eye contact so I know if they're lying. You know, so for my book, it was really important. I had like interviews from everyone, so you know what I was saying was real, and sometimes you even, you know, they might even say something humiliating about me, but you know, that's the part of writing a book, you know, being honest and kind of putting those chapters of my life behind me.
I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin, because, yeah, Travis tells his story, but you also hear from ex-wives, you hear from members of, you know, transplants and from Blink and from the Aquabats and all the other people that you work with. You hear from ex-roommates and friends and family members. I mean, it really is a total package of what your life has been to up to this point. And what a fascinating life it has been. Travis Barker is here. The book is available now everywhere called Can I Say? Living Large, Cheating Death, and Drums, Drums, Drums. A quick break. More with Travis right after this on K-Rock. This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are giving the drummer some. Our friend Travis Barker is here. His book is out today called Can I Say? Living Large, Cheating Death, and Drums, Drums, Drums. Travis, you know you're doing an in-store tonight at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove. You know that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Wait, you're checking with him if he knows that?
Just want to make sure, man. He's got a busy schedule. It is a wristbanded signing, and Barnes & Noble at the Grove is going to be handing out wristbands at 9 o'clock this morning when you buy Travis's book, Can I Say? And then you get a place in line to meet Travis and get an autograph tonight at 7 o'clock. You can get the info for that at travisbarker.com. All right. Wow. Where do we want to go next? You've had such a long and interesting life. How do you feel almost turning 40, by the way, Travis, for a guy who has thought his whole life that he wasn't going to live to be 20 and then wasn't going to live to be 30, and now you're almost 40. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, the 27 was, that's the magic, you know, that's that age. I was, you have no idea when I passed that one. I was really
You always
happy.
Thought that it was just, that's the number.
Yeah, I mean, before I had kids, I really lived for the day. I didn't really worry about the consequences of anything I did the day before. But no, it feels, I mean, I've had such, I'm blessed, man. I've had a career beyond anything I ever expected, you know, in multiple genres, and I have two beautiful children, you know. I have no complaints. If the next 40 years is this great, I'm really stoked.
You've had some tremendous tragedy in your life and a tremendous amount of loss. I mean, not just what you went through with the plane crash and recovery, but losing two of your very best friends in the whole world within about a year of one another. Where do you get the strength to move on from that and have such a positive, happy attitude, do you think?
I mean, for sure, it's the kids. You know, my kids were such a driving force in me recovering and staying positive. You know, first after the accident, you know, where I was like, you know, battling with survival's guilt, you know, and, you know, burying, you know, Che and Chris, and then also two pilots, you know, that was tough. And then a year later to, you know, for my best friend to also, you know, go away, and in the, you know, the manner in which he passed away, was, that was really tough, because him and I were very much each other's support system. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't a, you know, we went to therapists after the plane crash, and there was like, there was no doctor or therapist we could talk to that was like, yeah, I've survived a plane crash and buried two people I love, and, you know, and it was tough. It was very much after AM passed away, it was like Final Destination for me. You know, I was like just kind of waiting to go. And then, you know, after a year of telling myself I'm supposed to be here, you know, I was like, you know, I'm here for a reason. After Adam passed away, I was, you know, second guessing everything again. But then, you know, I have a great support system with my children and just my career, and I just got a second chance.
How long did it take you after that accident to be able to enjoy whatever you're doing and feel like, not feel guilty?
It was a little while. And I was on a lot of meds when I got home. You know, I didn't take the drugs I was taking before the plane crash, because I went from being a complete dumpster to being in a hospital on morphine for 6 weeks or whatever. And that was tough, you know, and I got out, and I never wanted to take, I came home with no pain medication, put it that way, you know, where I was like self-medicating myself for years. And then it wasn't until afterwards, like I was on a lot of drugs that just doctors, you know, had prescribed me, and they said, you could be on these for the rest of your life with something, you know, as traumatic as you went through. And then I'd kind of heard, like, my uncle, I had overheard him saying, like, yo, Travis is really different. He almost seems slow, you know, and I heard Skinhead Rob say it too. And then that was my, like...
Is that from the medication?
Yeah, it was from the medication. And I knew, you know, I've said it in other interviews, I was like, there was something different about Adam and I. When you looked at us, even if you compared a picture from before and after the accident, there was just something different in our face. Like, it wasn't a physical scar or something, but we were just different people, and as we should be, you know. But after I'd heard them, like, I'd overheard a couple of people go, like, well, we're kind of worried about Trav. I had killed every, you know, bipolar medication, any kind of medication I was on. And I just, that gave me, like, the strength to really snap out of it. And, like, I got to bounce back. You know?
What was it like then going through all of this and reliving it? It had to be so emotional just writing the book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was the highest of highs in this book where Gavin Edwards and I were, like, laughing. And he laughs like a hyena. So when
I don't know anything about that.
It was so funny. It was so great. And then there was, like, the lowest of lows, you know, talking about the passing of my mom or the plane crash or, you know, the loss of friends. That was, like, there was times where I was bawling my eyes out and he would just be like, okay, I'm going to give you 20 minutes, you know, and then he'd come back in and we'd finish. But, I mean, those were all, like, kind of like Band-Aids I never took off. I just kind of was strong, you know. It was like, get strong, Trav, don't, you know.
The very first sentence of this book is, I was on fire.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. All right, so.
Well, we're dealing with this then. We're going to get right into it. I thought that was really amazing.
Yeah, that was like Gavin's idea, you know. That was like a chapter within the book, you know, middle of the book. And he was like, I really want to start with this. It's almost like when a movie starts with almost the most, you know, the ending of the movie or
right.
the most dramatic part, and then you, you know, the book starts right afterwards. So, yeah.
Travis, I think people are going to be amazed if they only know a little bit of your recovery story of how much you went through and for how long you went through it. And just, I mean, when you talk about the, you know, them peeling off your skin with the metal brush and everything like that, that they had to do to, you know, to make sure the skin didn't get infected and stuff. I mean, you went through torture in that recovery. And there's no question you wanted to die, and who would blame you with as much as that hurt?
Yeah.
You woke up at 11 surgeries?
Yeah. I mean, I had self-medicated, and I was on so many drugs leading up to the plane crash that when I went in, they had no idea what kind of monster they were dealing with.
Sort of was probably used to pretty heavy drugs, and then it didn't really help. It didn't really work when they were doing the surgeries?
They had so much trouble getting my pain meds right, you know? So I would wake up on surgeries, in the middle of surgery, swinging on people. Because I'd wake up, I wouldn't realize what was going on, and I would just be in excruciating pain, and I would see a bright light and seven people around me operating, you know. And then, you know, the Grossman Burn Center in L.A., they, you know, Peter Grossman really dialed me in and got everything right and kind of knew what he was dealing with after me waking up a couple times. But yeah, I mean, you ever see a burn survivor or whatever, it's like, it's, you know, you're scraped with a metal brush, you know, every couple days to get all the infection
That's
out of
brutal.
You. And it's just, yeah, I still go to the burn center and visit, you know, at Christmas time or anytime I can, because it's like, you know, I have a lot of sympathy for anyone in there, and majority of it's kids, honestly, which is even
that's
more
terrible.
Sad, you know.
That's so terrible. And by the way, plane crash aside, you write in the book about all you've put your shoulders and your arms and your hands through with the way you drum. And it's a miracle you can lift your arms, much less still drum today. I mean, it really is with what you've put your body through, Travis.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just something I don't even – you know, I don't even think about it. It's just something I love.
You can't
to do.
Stop, won't stop, man.
Yeah,
that's you.
Never.
So he used to glue his hands. He used to glue when they were start to come apart. He just glue them
together.
Move
right
on.
Yeah, it's super glue.
That's crazy.
That's what they did in World War II. When you
right,
to
but that was
home.
In 1940 something, right? I mean, what are you doing?
All right, let's address the happiest surprise for me in the book, and that is that there's not a woman alive who hasn't had sex with Travis Barker. Now, that was my takeaway on this book, is hot and cold running chicks since you were like 11, Travis.
I know. I was bad. I was very much girl crazy. I'm still girl crazy, you know.
Oh, but, you're a man whore. There's
way.
No question about that. Did you have any thoughts about, all right, I have kids who are going to be old enough to read this book in a few years, and do I want to write so much about girls just walking up off the beach and knocking on the door that I've never seen before and having sex with them? I mean, do I want to put that in the book?
I mean, it was one of the things I told Gavin. I was like, there's so many girls in this book. And he's like, it's the truth, right?
Yeah.
And
well,
I was like, yeah. I was like, so for me, it was, I mean, everything, you know, my life completely changed when I had kids, you know, my morals, like, you know, the way I, you know, I have a little girl, so I want her treated like a princess. I'm going to treat a girl now how I'd want my daughter to be treated. So obviously so much has changed, but that's the truth. You know, I say in the beginning of the book, you know, I'm not proud of everything in the book. Some of it makes my skin crawl with shame, you know.
A lot of it, you literally say and then say, I don't like myself for this, but yeah, this is how I lived and who I was and what I did.
I mean, I didn't do any of the interviews. Gavin did. And, you know, Gavin, you know, he's very, very strict on you. We don't change anything that was said in the interview because it's the other person's word. But, like, my buddy Brent Van, when he talks about my first bachelor party, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I was like, can we leave this out?
That you know? Was the greatest bachelor party in history.
Right, but it's the truth, and it happened. And if anyone can learn, you know, like, look, yeah, I used to be with hella girls, too many. And now, you know, you meet the right girl, and, you know, that actually, like, kind of like, how do you call it, you know, actually gets you. And that happens to me every so many years, you know, and it's just so worth it rather than... You know, it's kind of that kind of living ends up being pretty shallow. You know,
well, when you, I will say, when you, you know, in the marriages that you've had, when you fall in love hard, and you fall in love for reals. You know what I mean? I mean, you definitely loved hard.
Yeah, I mean, my first wife, Melissa, I married, you know, within 6 months of knowing her. You know, I'm very spontaneous when I like someone. I don't doubt it. I'm a Scorpio, so I'm like,
no,
I'm, and it's almost Scorpio season, people. But yeah, I'm passionate. You know, everyone around me could be telling me like, no, and I don't even hear you. Like, I'm so in the zone. You know.
All right. So this is the first half of your life. Yeah. We're almost out of time here, Travis. But what do you think the second half of your life is going to be like?
Awesome. I always say I hope it's exactly like the first half. Just maybe we could take cheating death out of, you know,
yeah,
the equation. Nobody so many to, times yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, I've you know, the first whatever 39 years right now have been amazing, you mm-hmm. know. I wouldn't change a thing. I, you know, I say no regrets, all lessons learned. You know, I wouldn't be who I am today without everything, including, you know, the plane crash, or, you know, my mom passing. Obviously, I wish those things didn't happen. You know, I wish there was no loss. I wish, you know, she was still here. I wish the five people that passed away in the plane were still here. But I can't reverse any of that, and I've learned a lot. You know, it's made me who I am.
Well, this book is great. This is not some, you know, quick, you know, get rich scheme that a famous person just, you know, slaps their name on to put it out there to make some bucks. I mean, this obviously you put so much thought and so much time into this, and it's so honest and so real and so fascinating. And the history of the ups and downs of Blink 182, we didn't even get a chance to talk to, is so great. And your stories about famous stars and traps was amazing. I mean, you really are to be congratulated, Travis. You and Gavin have written a great book. So congratulations to you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I really wanted to write it now, and it seems like people do it 30 years after they're relevant for like a money grab.
Yeah.
And I really treated this like an album, you know, that's very relevant. And, you know, I talk about, you know, things that happened a month ago, like recording the Anti-Mask record or whatever, recording my first single that's out right now. So it's so current. It's ridiculous.
It's great. Can I say Living Large, Cheating Death, and Drums, Drums, Drums by author Travis Barker. We'll see you soon.
Cool. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for coming. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
Our friend Joel McHale stops by just after 9 o'clock this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. A lot to talk to Joel about. First, though, Ralph Garman down at the K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood Drive once again this year at Universal Studios Hollywood. Speaking of tattoos, yeah, we just had Travis Barker in here, Ralph. What's the policy on that? If somebody's got a tat and they want to come down and get blood?
Brand new world we live in, boys and girls. Tattoos? You can now give blood if you've got a tattoo.
Oh, no
kidding. How about that? Yeah.
How about
it has to
that?
Have been done, I believe, in the state of California by a certified technician. And if it's healed up and it's fine, then you can actually give blood again. If you're from outside, if it got done outside the state of California, I think there's some other regulations and whatnot. But, yeah, they're accepting people with tattoos now. So congratulations, tatted people.
So you are at
Just
Universal
Studios. Bleed.
Studios Hollywood. You'll be there till 10 o'clock, but the blood drive goes on all the way till 1. You guys still got prizes to give away?
I believe we do. We've been giving away tickets, a lot of tickets this morning for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, of course. And then concert tickets. We've got The Cure, AWOL Nation, Danny Elfman, Muse, Deftones, Rancid, The Neighborhood, and many more. So come on down. Actually, the room is still packed. God bless. There's people sitting on the floor waiting to give blood.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
I don't want to jinx this.
It was the floor sitters.
The floor sitters. But I think that this might be a record. We're having a great turnout, so it's very exciting. Thanks for everybody who's come out so far this morning. And thanks also to Fox and their TV show Scream Queens, which has a brand new show tonight on Fox from the creators of American Horror Story and Glee. It's a great show, and they've helped us put on the blood drive, so we appreciate their participation as well. But it's a very cool event. If you are coming down, if you're still planning on coming down before 1 o'clock, bring a sweater.
Oh, really?
We're here in the Globe Theater, and they have turned it down to minus 40 Celsius.
Wow, that is cold.
Do they not have fridges to put the blood in, so they're just storing it right there in the room?
They're trying to freeze the people before they take the blood out, and that way it keeps it nice and fresh. So
I see.
Make sure you bring, I don't know, some sort of camper heater or a sleeping bag or just a small bonfire, just something to keep yourself warm because it is a little chilly in here this morning.
Good advice to bring a bonfire by.
Well, you know, one of those
tip.
Like a hibachi, like right. like a small bonfire. Not like a trash can fire. Don't be ridiculous.
Okay, all right.
Just something that you can contain. And of course, you know, only you can prevent forest fires.
Right.
Let's take a look at show business news. Last night, of course, everyone's still talking about Star Wars: The Force Awakens trailer hit during halftime of the Monday Night Football game on ESPN. A lot of people talking about the trailer. A lot of people talking also about what's not in the trailer. For example, we don't see Lupita Nyong'o's character, Maz Kanata. She was nowhere to be seen in the trailer. Andy Serkis's character of Supreme Leader Snoke, who is rumored to be Kylo Ren's boss, was not in the trailer. Mox von Sydow. Gwendolyn Christie's Captain Phasma was just briefly seen. Domhnall Gleeson. So there's a lot of characters we haven't been introduced to yet. Just under 2 months to go until Star Wars The Force Awakens hits cinemas. The biggest missing character, I guess, from the trailer, besides Ken, was a guy named Luke Skywalker, who we know is in the film. Mark Hamill is in the film, but not a big sighting, not an official sighting of Luke Skywalker yet. So a lot of people talking about what that means, but I guess we'll have to wait, because I believe this is the last trailer until we see the actual film itself. In just under 2 months in theaters, and Allie's already got her tickets.
I do. 7 o'clock, December 17th. Good times.
In case you want to show up there and stalk Allie.
Oh, just kidding.
Then she meant Friday night.
Yeah, I don't want to go Thursday. That's crazy.
I can see the Dateline NBC special now.
Murder.
Sadly, she gave out her appearance of when she was going to be in the theater, and that spelled death.
Get Mankiewicz on the phone.
While we're talking about movies, Daniel Craig is rumored to be starring in his final James Bond movie that comes out in early November, Spectre, of course. But he's a busy man. He's just announced that he will be starring opposite David Oyelowo on Broadway in a Shakespeare's Othello, in a version of Othello. So Daniel Craig to play Iago in that classic Shakespearean play. Kevin, what's your favorite character from Othello?
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 Yeah.
The female Othello?
It's the female
Othello. His wife, yeah. Othello?
I don't know. I'm
I'd love to
not
give you
the
update on Saturday Night Live. Donald Trump is set to be the host next month of that show. Not everybody happy with that decision made by the producers. The National Hispanic Leadership Agenda ain't happy with the Peacock Network, NBC's choice to have him be the guest. I don't know how they're going to pull that off. Won't NBC have to give an hour's worth of television time to all the other candidates?
That question has been asked, and I think they don't have to put them on SNL, but they do have to provide some outlet for them, and maybe it's on the Sunday morning shows or something like that. But I think you're right. I think they're going to run into that if they keep inviting Trump on.
The National Hispanic Leadership Agenda wrote a strongly worded letter, Bean, you'll be happy to know, to NBC, saying they're appalled that you would enable Trump's hateful speech for nothing more than a ratings ploy.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
Oh, I'm already fired. He's not even president yet. He's firing me. And since it is the Halloween season and scary movies abound, you'll be happy to know that Annabelle 2 is in the works. Remember Annabelle about the possessed doll?
Oh, right.
Annabelle was a spinoff of The Conjuring, and then Annabelle itself was a smash hit, so they've just announced Annabelle 2 will be in the works, and it'll be out around this time next year.
You are all going to die tonight.
And you'll all die. I got so many great stories. I'm out of time. We'll
Check back in about 45 minutes.
No word from Joel McHale yet, so oh,
really?
Take your time.
I might have more time.
Enjoy yourself, Ralph.
I was just saddened to hear that ex-Red Hot Chili Peppers guitarist John Frusciante has finally settled his payment schedule with his ex-wife, Nicole Frusciante. She wanted $75,000 a month.
Oh, my God.
In spousal support.
You said a month, Ralph. What did you mean?
I meant a month. She wanted $75,000 per month from John Frusciante in tax-free spousal support.
Well, they've got to have a lot of kids, right?
I don't know if they have any kids.
I don't think they have any.
I don't think they do either. I think she just wants...
Wow.
Does she not remember who she was married to? I mean, what kind of living does she think John Frusciante is making today?
Well, here's the thing. She says, and she told the judge, that John has $14 million in the bank and that he can easily afford it. She was getting $20,000 a month. That was the original agreement.
Who can live on $20,000
right?
a month?
She went back to court asking for $75,000, and the judge finally came in with a settlement yesterday. $53,000 a month.
Oh, my God.
Is what she will be getting, but she has to pay taxes on that. So when that's all said and done, it's like $8 a month or something.
But that's still a lot of money coming out of Mr. Frusciante's checking account, though.
Yes. The judge did say the agreement was that would be the permanent agreement moving forward. And regarding his money, he's got to give it away, give it away, give it away now.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Even take loans.
Don't you moan.
Those people
I will take your
blood
without a needle right now, you people.
People giving blood or moaning.
Well, they're probably unwell. They're probably woozy.
Right.
They take like a gallon now. Did you know that?
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, it used to be like a pint. Now they bleed you dry. There's a lot of pale people just laying on the ground here. I don't want to scare anybody off, but some people are dead. I don't think these people know what they're doing. Some people are just empty.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
How about, is Joel McHale there yet?
Not yet.
Dave, what's the word on Mr. McHale? Any sighting yet?
Nothing yet.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I got another story then.
All right.
This is, you know, Bean's worst fear is waking up in the middle of an operation.
Yes. Yes,
what's
it is.
Going on. Because, you know, that happens. Yeah. Here's my worst fear. So people were at a Wild West show in Tombstone, Arizona. Did you hear about this?
No.
I don't know why I'm laughing. It's a horrible story. But they were at a Wild West show in Tombstone, Arizona, and they were replicating the gunfight at the OK Corral, which, if Kevin, of course, you remember, was the what marshal was that?
Marshall McGinnis. Doesn't sound right, but I'm pretty sure that's it.
Wyatt Earp, of course.
Yeah, Wyatt Earp, right.
In the gunfight at the OK Corral. So they're watching this recreation, and several bystanders were shot because someone had put live bullets in the six guns.
Oh, my God.
So
Why are you laughing?
Because I'm thinking of the guy watching the show saying, this is really realistic. I feel like I'm there at the gunfight, the OK Corral, because now I've just been perforated.
Oh, jeez. It's awful.
That happened. You don't want that in a Wild West show.
Wait, was this?
You're at a Wild West show, though.
Yeah. So
you don't deserve to die, Kevin.
I'm not Darwinism. Positive.
I still don't want to be shot.
Yeah.
All right. How's Joe McHale? Is he there yet?
You go ahead and wrap it up, and we'll get back. Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Petty, 65 years old today. Actor Viggo Mortensen is 57. Kenneth Choi from Sons of Anarchy is 44 years old. Snoop Dogg, also 44 today. John Krasinski is 36 years old. And Candace Swanepoel celebrates her 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He is the host of The Soup, inexplicably still on the air on E! He is our good friend Joel McHale, also stand-up comedian, actor, writer, producer. He does it all. How are you, Joel?
It's nice to hear your voice and not see you.
Same. That's how a lot of people who work on this show feel. Joel, how? First of all, welcome. It's been a while.
It's been a while. It's great to be here.
Great to see you. How is The Soup still on the air? And I mean for reals, how is The Soup still on the air?
Oh, we made a deal with... what's his name? Satan. And we wrote the contract in blood, and we basically can be on until I do a human sacrifice.
Okay.
So,
is that part of the plan? Or?
Yeah. Well, at some point, we're going to go out with a bang. We're going to really end the show with a live execution, which I think is the way television is going.
Sam Rubin.
I like it.
So we're going to execute Sam Rubin? Are you volunteering?
That's a pretty good choice.
I figured I'd just throw a name
out
there.
It's obvious.
Okay.
No?
It's got to be someone, right?
All right. You're right.
Okay. All right.
I was going to say the Today Show, but that's fine.
We've got so much that we want to talk to you about the soup and about the X-Files and about everything else that's going on in your world. But let's start with the important thing. How are you going to fix the Seahawks? What's your answer there? Because is the problem too much McLemore on the sidelines? Is that what's hurting us, do you think?
It might be his pants, but I'm a huge McLemore fan, so I'm
that's
not
it. Okay.
That's probably not it. I don't know what it,
I know you have
we
been
just
tortured
need to play
by this.
In the fourth quarter. It's been a hard last few weeks, but the fourth quarter is where we need to really start playing. I mean, I think they just need to throw the ball to Jimmy Graham every play, but the defense has not been as good as they have been in the past, it's a hard time for me. It's
are you big enough?
But you know what? It's how you finish. This could be a great story.
Right.
We come back big, and all these teams that are undefeated are going to fall apart. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Last year, the Patriots looked awful through the first four games, and I don't know how that
ended
last year.
Are you a Patriots fan?
She's a Patriots fan.
Are you a Patriots fan?
Shut up, Joel.
Where did you grow up?
Shut up, Joel. We've already gone through this, and I hate you for doing that.
No, we didn't go through it on the air.
Yeah, we went through it
on the air. Listen, just because I was not born in Boston.
Or raised there?
My family was.
Yeah, okay. Well, I have family in Chicago. They didn't make me a Bulls fan. So I visited there a lot. Anyway.
Joel, are you a big enough celebrity that you are in on the Seahawks like sideline and stuff like that? Can you do that? Can you walk out and like watch the game from the 50-yard line?
I have been on the sideline a number of times.
Wow.
So I believe
Well,
me,
then stop it.
It's more from how I...
Oh,
that's
wait,
why.
Did they win when you were on the sideline?
They did win.
Well, then maybe you need to get back out there.
I actually have been... Not a single home game I've been to have they lost.
Okay, well, there it is.
So I'm going up there.
You're not doing your part.
Have you been on the sideline?
No, I'm a nobody. I'm just saying, guys like you and McLemore, though, you're the ones who hang out
no,
at places
you,
like that.
Look, 10 years ago, you would have been huge back then. I mean, when people listened to terrestrial radio, we would have been great.
Hey, we're very popular, Joel McHale.
As you know, on television, if we just keep telling ourselves things like that, it'll come true. We're like, we're still around. The soup, people are still watching it, right?
Right?
Of course. All right, great, Joel. And that's just into the mirror each morning.
It's best if you don't know. The soup airs Friday nights at 7 on E. And, this week it's airing a special live episode.
It's a live. Well, we've been doing it live. Whenever it's on Fridays, we always do it live.
So, oh, really?
So
okay.
People can see my dyslexia on full display.
But I feel like you are setting yourself up for disaster doing it live from a NASCAR event. That seems like really like taking you out of your element completely and adding in a lot of live variables with a bunch of people around. They're going to make it tough to do your job.
Oh, but I don't think – see, the thing is nobody drinks at those events. And
wow, that's unusual. I would have thought they would.
It's very puritanical.
Right?
It's there's not a single beer that gets opened. So,
and all the cars have silencers on them.
You cannot. There will never be a sound issue when we're doing the show live from a racetrack.
No,
yeah, it also will be an hour long. So
I picture Joel yelling and us not hearing him ever.
Yeah, that which I look forward to. Then you'll not see my mistakes. It'll be great.
How do you suppose this idea came to pass? Was it just somebody in management was looking around going, what's popular? NASCAR is popular. Let's do that. I mean, is it as simple as that?
KP Anderson, who is the executive producer and head writer, he has a relationship with him. I hosted some stuff for NASCAR, and I think they said, hey, do you want to do the show from the infield? And it being, I think it's more popular than baseball, it being one of the most popular sports in America, we went, if we can just have a tiny bit of your ratings, we'll probably be the biggest show on E. Sorry, Kardashians, I know.
So a guy like Dale Earnhardt Jr. comes in to cut the promo with you.
Yes.
Are you amazed? Are people just lined up around the block to meet a dude like that? Because he's a superstar that most of our listeners probably never even think about or acknowledge.
KP did talk to the staff of RN. He goes, just so you know, there are people with altars to this man in their home. And
yeah,
they would
literally
cut their fingers off for this man and give them to him. And he could not have been nicer or cooler.
Did he demand any fingers?
I gave him, it wasn't a finger.
Okay.
But he could not have been nicer. And his wife was really nice, and he's coming on the show on Friday. But I don't think people understand the worship that happens around NASCAR drivers.
Half the kids in the South are named Dale as a result of Dale Earnhardt Jr. Do you guys know that? 50% of the children born in the South.
When they run the Brickyard, brick sales go up at Home Depot, and I am not joking. You think I'm joking?
Well, yes, you are
really
joking.
People are like, I got to get bricks. I've heard it so many times.
Oh, my God.
That really happened. So believe me, just the fact that they're allowing us to do it, I feel honored. I feel like Kid Rock.
Let's see how it goes.
The Soup Advanced NASCAR Live.
Yeah, I mean, it is live.
It's live.
So it could be a disaster.
Right. Live from Talladega. That's the one in Alabama, right?
That's in Alabama.
Yeah.
I'm going there tomorrow.
Their show airs Friday night at 7 on E! Joel McKellar is our guest. Much more to discuss with him when we return right after this.
Coming.
Stand-up comedian, actor, writer, producer, Joel McKellar in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's the host of The Soup. He's this guy.
In music news, Kanye West spoke about Keeping Up with the Kardashians, saying the show is so groundbreaking, it deserves several Emmys. Agreed. But here's the problem. You can't nominate the episode where they put too much sesame soy vinaigrette on Kim's salad without nominating the one where Chloe gets mad at Chris for copying the way she displays her candy dishes. It would split the Academy voters. By the way, those are actual plot lines.
That is true. Kardashians really have been the gift, the engine that has made The Soup continue to run for all these years, haven't they?
They are the planet that we live on now.
Yeah.
If there was at one point, and I'm not, we were equals at that network, and that has changed greatly.
Been a while since then?
They have turned into the biggest stars in the world.
Is there ever any pressure from management to go easy on them because they are on the network?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it used to be that Chris would call directly and say, please stop that. Stop mentioning Kim and her sex tape and all that. They wanted that not mentioned at all.
Okay. Did they ever come to you and tell you that?
They didn't say it personally to me, but the old president would go like, hey, would you lay off for a week? And he was like having a neighbor, or he was like our dad. He'd be like your dad going like, look, the neighbor's mad. Stop throwing the baseball over there.
Just for a little bit till he forgets.
Yeah, but now, yes, the network is a bit sensitive about protecting their
cash cow.
Yes, their cash cow, and that only, of course, makes us want to make fun of it more. So yes, they get when they see them in the script, they get a little squirrely. But hey, it's on TV, so he's been very good to us to allow us to make fun of everything on the air. So. I think we only make them more powerful. We've all made them more powerful.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Do you miss Seacrest at all? He's not around as much anymore, right?
He got so rich that he evaporated. He
really?
Turned into a he moves about the halls as a green gas now and then just appears, and he's Nosferatu. So I don't see him anymore. What does he do these days? I mean, other than count money, he counts the Kardashian.
He counts money. Yeah.
Did you see Knock Knock Live, though? Did you see that miracle?
We did cover that.
Yeah,
okay.
Knock Knock Live was the greatest show of 2015.
We also covered Million Second Quiz, which was a show on NBC for a moment.
Million Second Quiz.
That was the one in New York?
In
Times Square, the 24-hour
yes.
day show, right?
And
yeah.
we literally listed, we just read their rules.
Which are impossible to understand.
It was the schematics for the space shuttle.
It really was.
It was very difficult to figure out what the rules were, and I thought, well, Ryan is doing his darndest to explain it, and if anybody can, it's him.
He couldn't. No. Couldn't.
Knock Knock sounds like a horror movie.
Oh, my God. It was so bad.
It was unbelievable. They literally just knocked on people's door and asked them questions.
And then shot money at them at the back of a truck, which I wish they'd come to my house.
I like when they did the teasers during, I forget which sporting season it was, but they would say, oh, here's I'm Ryan Seacrest. Here's how Knock Knock Live works. And then he would go, I walk up to a door. And then,
he would literally knock.
I was like, really? You have to explain that?
Right.
Title
what
to
if
me?
It's a gate? Do you knock on a gate? Do you push it? We would like him back on television.
Same.
Joel McHale here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Soup, by the way, invades NASCAR Live from Talladega. It's this Friday night at 7 on E! Let's talk about some of your other stuff. I know you're still doing the stand-up around the country. Congratulations on that.
thank you. Usually you just insult me horribly about
no,
it.
No. I mean, I think it's
he was
awesome.
Lining up his next insult.
Because I remember when you started the stand-up and you weren't sure how it was going to go, and you kind of have found your way, and you seem to like it, and the kids like you, so it's great.
Wow.
But I will. I do want to talk about your acting a little bit because when you showed up on Sons of Anarchy, first of all, it blew our minds.
Right.
And then when we heard you were going to be in the X-Files TV series coming next year, it blew our minds again.
Yeah, you thought that was a mistake, I assume.
Not a mistake. It was just it was a pleasant surprise to see someone we know is going to be on the freaking X-Files. Tell us the story of how this came to be, Joel.
Chris Carter lost a bet. And he had to cast. No, they made me an offer, and I thought that was. I thought it was. They came to you. They came to me. I was like, Are you sure? I was like, no. It was
what?
Great. Believe me, I would have blown the audition, or Chris Carter in the audition. But it was one of those things where I'm like, I would have paid to be on the show because I loved it so much.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it wasn't until like the second week that David Duchovny discovered that I was a fan. And he was like, oh. Because I named some episode by name.
Now, did that make it better or worse?
I think it was, he had known, I had been there already a week, so we were already established.
Okay, all right.
Who are you playing, Joel?
I play a conservative radio show host.
Oh.
Can you believe that? A guy named Ted O'Malley. Tad O'Malley.
Ted,
it's fine. I never said my first name. But I play a guy that believes in all the conspiracies the way David Duchovny does, and then I grow a tail and kill everyone.
So Glenn Beck's life story.
It's Glenn Beck. I do play a very similar character to Glenn Beck.
Did you feel like you're kind of slumming it, though, even for a minute, pretending to be a radio guy, since you're such a fancy... You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
You didn't come up through radio, right?
I knew that I was better looking than to be a radio show host.
Right?
About that. But, yeah, no, it was weird. I felt like I was in the back in the 1920s. like, it's just a microphone, and you're just talking to it? You don't have to... No makeup or anything?
No camera? No.
Say hair? Coming up next.
Now, are you in every episode?
I am in two or three of the six.
Okay. Right.
So, yeah. What are you going to do about it?
As an X-Files fan, do you have a cool Dave or Gillian Anderson story?
Like
something that blew your mind that was so cool you couldn't believe you got to do, or...
I'm not going to tell you because then I would be revealing some of the secrets.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's on the show.
Just hanging out with them on set was really fun. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I was saying, hey, Scully and Mulder, that I would say their last names.
That is weird.
It was like, I felt like I was in some sort of cosplay or something.
Do you think they were just going to bust you at some point for being a fake and kick you out and bring in somebody real?
Absolutely. Well, as a radio show host, as you know, it's not hard. And so I felt like I was really nailing it.
What about super fan Kamal Nanjiani? He was there as well. Do you guys have any crossover on the show?
We didn't have a crossover on the show.
But did you geek out together?
He insulted me on Twitter when he found out that I was cast.
Good.
He used a dirty word, and I responded back. But he was on Community and was very funny.
Yep.
A very nice man from Pakistan, as you probably know.
Yes.
Right, Ali?
Yes.
Are you a fan of Pakistan's rugby team?
I'm not from there.
Oh, you're not from there?
No, I'm not. But
are you from Boston?
Like them. I hate you right now.
But you're a big Patriots fan. But you're not from there.
My whole family's from there, Joel.
Look, I have family
in Chicago, but you're not a Bulls fan.
I got some family in Virginia, but I don't care about the universe. Okay. Anyway, what were you guys saying? I'm going to keep doing that for the rest of my time.
So Friday night, what else do you need to tell us about this special? It's 1 hour.
It's 1 hour. Other than watch it.
Watch it.
That's asking a lot, Joel.
Who else is going to be on it?
Danica Patrick will be on it.
Okay.
All right.
Unattractive.
Maybe lead with that.
She's going to be on it, and then Dale Earnhardt Jr. will be on it.
All right.
I'm just going to list a bunch of drivers, and about six other drivers.
Will you do it live for both coasts?
No. It happens live on both coasts at once.
What?
I know. It seems
crazy. So it's 7 o'clock here and 10 o'clock there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's going to be central time there, so it'll be 9, obviously. But it'll be broadcast live all at the same time.
Well, don't screw it up,
Mikhail. A lot like football games.
Right. Don't screw it up. That's our advice.
Don't do it.
I won't. I will screw it up, and that's the best part.
That
you
is
won't
the
be able
of
to
live
hear
TV.
It'll be too loud.
You'll be able to hear anything because the cars.
And how about that Star Wars trailer?
Huh?
We're gonna show that too. Probably. we're gonna
well, just
show me in the Force Awakens trailer.
Well, it's very popular.
I don't think Allie's excited at all.
No,
she has no accoutrement.
JoelMchale.com or thesouptv.com for all the details. Joel, it's been too long, my friend. Thanks so much
it's
for coming.
It's great to be back here.
We enjoy
you guys. Nothing's changed. Even it's great to see that Oasis poster out there. Can't believe it's still there. We are the new
Americana. What was
just
I
saying?
Jesus.
Man, oh,
just
man.
Saying.
Take it easy.
I'm just, look,
so good.
I love that
I can go to the store and buy milk.
No, here's my point. This is all I'm saying. And you tell me if you guys think this is stupid. It's been an extraordinarily enjoyable last couple of hours on the Kevin and Bean Show because we spent some time with Travis Barker,
yes,
whom we've known for 20 years, and
right,
then we spent some time with Joel McHale, whom we know for 20 years, and it's just nice to have these people that we're kind of friends with that we've known for a long time, and to have them revisit and kind of get caught up. I just enjoy that. That's all.
To which Ralph said,
great.
Ralph, all right,
put your pants back on.
Pants back on.
Look, I don't have actual real friends in real life.
Right, you should try that.
So this is okay, my social life,
right,
is this show,
you
okay?
Act like you're surprised by it. Like, oh, we've been on the air for a long time, and we know people. People have come back to the show. I mean, how is that like a surprise to you? How
it's
is
not,
it, it's not even a comment. It's not even something you say. It's a given.
It's not that it's a surprise.
Asshole.
Just, right? That's what I'm saying.
All right. We got to get out of here. Ralph Garman is once again live.
You got to get out of here.
But
I'm not
where?
Getting out of here.
You're staying there till like 1 p.m., right, Ralph?
I'm gonna grab a needle and start taking some blood. How hard could it be?
That's right. It's K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood Drive. It's going on once a year. We do this at Universal Studios Hollywood. Ralph Garman is down there now, but the blood drive goes on until 1 o'clock today. You come on by, give blood, save somebody's life, and we're handing out lots of cool prizes. How's it been going down there the last hour? So good?
It's been amazing. Again, I don't want to jinx this, but I think this could be an all-time record turnout. There's tons of people sitting over here by the walls, and people are standing in line waiting to get their blood drawn, and it's just an amazing thing to watch so many people give so much. So thank you so much for coming down, everybody. Appreciate it.
That's very cool.
Thanks also to Universal, who's been amazing. Each and every year they help us with this blood drive. They put it all together, and we're here at Universal Studios. If you're looking for it, when you show up, we're right by the Minions ride. That's how you can find us in the Globe Theater. And Halloween Horror Nights, by the way, is still going on here at Universal through November the 1st, and it's just amazing. Have you guys ever done the Halloween Horror Nights?
It's been a
Universal?
While.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while.
It's amazing. They've got this the Walking Dead maze, which if you're a fan, you got to participate in that. So come on out, and it's UniversalStudiosHollywood.com. You can get more details about Halloween Horror Nights going on through September the 1st. Also want to thank Fox. Their show Scream Queens has an all-new show tonight, appropriately, a bloody show from the creators of American Horror Story and Glee. It's a terrific show. We like to watch that. So thanks for those folks for helping us put things together. And before I get out of here with some show business news, let me give away some tickets. We've got that big event, the Guys Night Out.
At the Bicycle Casino.
That we do at the Bike, thebike.com. And we're going to be playing poker down there. And now we've got a spot to play poker at Dave, the King of Mexico's table. If you want to play poker, isn't Dave, the King of Mexico, the guy you want to play against?
Yes. Yes, it is.
You've heard how he reads numbers, right?
Yeah, he may not be great.
Like, if the number's 20,407, it'd be like 20407. He could barely count. So, really, it's the guy you want to play poker against.
And by the way, you can, at a poker table, you can ask for a count of how much the other guy has. So, everybody ask Dave. I'd like to hear that all night.
Right. It's happening at the Bicycle Casino this Friday night at 8 p.m. If you win tickets to play at Dave's table, you will also get a rack of chips worth $200 to get you started. Got to be 21 years of age or older to participate, so why don't you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 8, since it happens at Friday night at 8 p.m., caller number 8 will win the Guys Night Out package from Bicycle Casino. Let's take a look at some of the show business news. Star Wars trailer. Last night during American football, the American football, Monday Night Football at halftime, everybody watched and people are just over the moon. Usually the internet is a place where most people are complaining about everything, but almost universally I've seen
the comments about this trailer being positive. People really excited about this film. Happens, of course, a little less than 2 months from now. We're going to be watching the movie up on the big screen. Some of the highlights of the trailer was the expanding role Daisy Ridley's character of Rey gets. Looks like she is some sort of... What'd you get the hit? Like she's like scavenger or something? Because
yeah.
In the beginning, she's in that ship kind of ripping stuff off. And someone asked her who she is, and she says, oh, I'm nobody. But we know that she is destined for greater things. Kylo Ren, Adam Driver's character, sounds a lot like Darth Vader. J.J. Abrams already told us that he's sort of a Darth Vader fanboy, and that was evident in the fact that he's got Vader's helmet and mask there that have been melted since he was thrown on that funeral pyre back in Return of the Jedi. Harrison Ford, of course, coming back in a big way. No presence from Luke Skywalker, however. A lot of people asking, what does that mean or not mean that we didn't see Mark Hamill's face in that trailer? So we all have to wait and see. A lot of characters still missing. Lupita Nyong'o, we haven't seen her. Domhnall Gleeson, Andy Serkis, Max von Sydow, Gwendolyn Christie. So a lot of good stuff.
I think there's a lot to be said for Ali's theory that it all is on the shoulders of a guy named Ken.
It's all about Ken.
Ken's going to be big. Mark my words.
Emperor Palpatine's grandson, Ken.
If you want to know about losing weight, then, of course, who are you going to ask? Oprah Winfrey, right?
I mean, she's lost a lot of weight before she gained it back.
Yes, she has. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She just bought 10% of Weight Watchers. She shelled out $45 million to buy 10% of the stock, and she will join the company's board of directors.
I'm so fat.
The good news for Weight Watchers participants is, with Oprah on the board of directors, chocolate cake is now an option at every meal, so that's good news.
Everything I eat is going to make me fat anyway, and so I might as well just eat whatever I want.
People love Oprah so much that when she bought the stock in Weight Watchers, the price of the stock went up 105%.
Wow.
Jeez.
Which means that Oprah made about $47 million yesterday just by buying the stock, and then the price went up. If she had sold it, she would have more than doubled her money.
Which is a genius strategy, by the way, if you're that powerful.
But
she should do that to a different stock every day.
That's right.
I'm guessing people would catch on to that, though, Bean.
Well, maybe so.
That's what you did with Twitter. Remember, Bean, when you bought your Twitter stock?
And turned around and sold it the next day?
Went skyrocketing. That's right. It's just crazy. How
now, here's what I did with the Twitter, Ralph Mox, because I bought it the day it went on sale for $45, all right? And then a couple of months after that, it was at $70, all right? Now it's at $20.
But you sold
when it was at 70.
Nope, still got
you
it.
Sell high, buy low. That's what they say.
Oh,
you do
I had that backwards.
Market.
I was waiting for it to bottom out before I sold.
Sometimes they say in Hollywood, it's not the roles you say yes to, but the ones you say no to that define your career. This may be the case. Interesting news. The New York Daily News did an interview with Paul Verhoeven. You know the director, Paul Verhoeven?
He's Showgirls, right?
Showgirls, RoboCop, a bunch of great films. Showgirls, not a great film, naturally. But 1995, that film was made. And the lead, of course, was played by Elizabeth Berkley, who came out of Saved by the Bell. However, what he revealed in this interview was that the role almost went to Charlize Theron.
Wow.
Can imagine how her career would have been different if she had gotten that role and starred in one of the all-time bomb movies. He said when she auditioned, she didn't have any problem with any of the nudity at all. She was good and wanted the part, but basically she was not well-known enough at the time, and so we said no.
Wow. You'll remember, Ralph, that her big breakthrough movie was another awful movie called 2 Days in the Valley that she was great in. Remember? That's kind of what put her on the map.
Actually, what put her on the map was That Thing You Do, the Tom Hanks film about the one-hit wonder band.
Mm-hmm.
She played Tom Everett Scott's girlfriend in that.
That was her first major role,
and that's what sort of introduced her to Hollywood. But good story, Bean.
I'm saying that was her first starring role.
No, I know what you were saying. It wasn't true, but it was good.
It was her first starring role, was in 2 Days in the Valley. That is true.
Okay.
It could have been Showgirls, it sounds like, though.
And Johnny Lydon of the Sex Pistols. We have to talk about outrageous fears sometime soon on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is afraid of a very unique thing. Now, you wouldn't think that the former Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols and current frontman for Public Image Limited would admit that he's scared to death of anything, but he is. Scared to death of?
I will take a guess. I don't know.
He knows.
I don't know.
He knows.
Why? Do you doubt everything, Kevin?
Yes.
Porcupines.
Close.
Cotton balls.
Pork chops.
No way.
I'm not kidding.
What?
He's scared to death of pork chops.
What are you talking about?
You heard me.
I know, but it doesn't make any sense.
Ah, or does it?
What is he afraid they'll do?
Well, here's the thing. When he was 7 years old, he got meningitis that put him in a coma for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And the last thing he ate before he got sick was a pork chop. And because of the association of that memory, he can't look at pork chops or go near one because he's scared to death of them.
Huh.
All right. Hmm. Hmm. Dumb son of a bitch.
Oh, come on. It's Johnny Rotten. He says, nothing, however, will keep me away from smoky bacon. I don't know what that means, but apparently it's not all pork products. He's just afraid of pork chops.
All right.
Didn't you have a pig called Pork Chop once, Bean?
Ham sandwich.
Oh, same thing. They're all good eating. That's all I know. Today's celebrity birthdays for today, the 20th of Rocktober. Thought for sure I was going to get you on
you
that
one. You
can't
catch Chip.
William Christopher from MASH is 83 years old today. Tom Petty is 65. Viggo Mortensen, the actor, 57 years old. Kenneth Choi from Sons of Anarchy is 44. As is Snoop Dogg. Is he back to Snoop Dogg now, or is he Snoop Lion?
I think
Lion,
so.
Or is
he no, I think he's
another
back
animal
to Snoop,
to Snoop
Dogg,
with?
I think he's the dog.
And John Krasinski turns 36. Candace Swanepoel, the lovely and talented model. She, okay,
wow.
All easy right.
Take it easy.
Once again, put your pants back on. She's 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beats.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have comedian Anthony Jeselnik in the studio. We also have, what else do we have? We haven't actually planned the show. We had so many guests. Tom Hanks will be here.
What?
Yeah,
what?
To talk about Bridge of Spies. And Matt Damon about Mars.
Mark Hamill talking about Ken.
And Mark Hamill talking about Ken. All tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show.